I'm Dave Lefkowitz here with you a little earlier than usual. Happy to be here. Generally, I host Dave's Gone By at 11 o'clock on Sunday nights, and I'll be here doing that tonight, including special guest Paul Tracy, the South African songwriter, musicologist, very, very cool guy. Don't miss that. That's an hour from now on Dave's Gone By. But between now and then, I'm also here live with you to have fun, to talk. We'll take some phone calls, and I've got a very, very special guest who has spent the last 10 minutes trying to open the lid of his plastic coffee cup. It's actually kind of funny here. His name is Joe Salzone. And
It's been a long time, Dave, since I've had 7-Eleven coffee.
Yeah.
And I forgot how pernickety the...
Persnickety, yes.
No, it's actually pernickety.
No, is it really?
It's persnickety is the anglicized version of a word that has Scottish origins.
I did not know that.
Yes.
And what does it mean? The same meaning.
Someone who's a fussy person.
So are you being fussy, or is the cup very fussy?
I am fussy about pernickety coffee lids.
I don't blame you. Yeah, because you were twisting that thing. All you want to do is get the thing up to get a sip of the darn coffee.
You know, I normally use the lids with the very tiny hole that requires no opening of said lid.
That's kind of how you date, also. Yeah,
that
okay.
is how I date, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't like those because you can't take a big gulp out of those.
Yeah, you have to sip through those little bitty straw things.
So it's like we can put a man on the moon, allegedly, but we cannot make a coffee lid that doesn't waste 10 minutes of my life that I will never get back.
That's right.
Jesus, God.
Well, maybe, does it make you appreciate the coffee more? Like, if it was so easy, if you just took the lid off really easy.
Let's find out.
Maybe the fact that you have to work for it. And?
I've had better. I'm so used to New York City coffee.
Was it cold by the time you got there? Or?
No. That's the one thing I hate about the What are these? What is the material of this cup?
It looks like paper, a kind of
I hate paper cups. They don't retain heat very well. I like styrofoam cups because I hate the environment.
I'm also sorry. You can actually hold them with your fingers. You don't need to double the cup or to use those wraparound cardboard things.
Yeah.
I understand how that's more, you know, good for the environment when you're just chopping down more trees to make paper.
I was in Starbucks on Saturday in Oakdale with my very best friend, and we sorry, Dave.
Oh.
No. Joyce is now number two on my list. your wife, for clarification.
That's right, yes.
To the, you know, six people paying attention right now. We observed on the sleeve, I guess, for the coffee cup, mm-hmm. that it was made of like 10%, I think, recycled good.
10%?
And I'm thinking, that's great. So I'm 90% annoyed that I'm using someone else's coffee sleeve.
Oh.
It's disgusting. Recycled from what, though? It could be used toilet paper.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It could be any kind of... I don't mind that.
That's why I always carry hand sanitizer with me.
I mean, I recycle toilet paper if I'm, you know...
Well, that's because you work at WGBB.
That's right.
Where I spent 5 years of my life.
Yeah, they weren't bad years.
No, it was a great time. You and I, because we've worked together a lot.
Yeah.
In many different contexts.
Sexual contexts.
Right.
Yeah.
Like when we were back in 98 doing Clinton coverage, long before I was even in radio.
Yeah.
But you and
or
I.
Or me, yeah.
Right. We reenacted a lot of the Ken Starr report.
Right.
And I would like my blue dress back.
Back, would you? Yeah. Oh, well. I can make your blue dress black, too. I mean, it's a little shoe polish.
Come again?
I did. Thank you very much. Oh, we can reenact. We can go into the bathroom here and reenact that other congressman.
Which?
What's his name? The
Larry Craig.
Larry Craig, Obama.
Yeah.
Mr. Foot Tappy Tap Man.
I was using the bathroom at Sirius Satellite Radio.
Yeah.
Where he can listen to me Monday through Friday. Indie Talks.
What time?
I have no idea. Anywhere. I anchor and then I host.
Okay.
I anchor on Pete Dominick's show. He's a comedian.
So wait, what is the difference between anchoring and hosting?
Hosting, I get more airtime. Anchoring, it's like 2 minutes of news.
It's so like you read the news.
Right. Well, I write the news and then I read it. It's based entirely. I've tried explaining. I try explaining this to people without sounding like, you know, it's a boring job. It's not your traditional style of news radio. Not in the sense that, like, here's what's happened in Washington today, here's what's happened in Iraq today.
Okay.
It is, the sourcing involved is entirely blogs.
It's, so you have to qualify everything with, like, this may be completely untrue.
It's, I'm basically going against everything I've learned in the last 7 years and reporting what amounts to innuendo and opinion. Like, for example, one of the one of the biggest blogs is, of course, the Huffington Post, which has an overtly liberal slant.
Sure.
So yeah, I would qualify certain things by saying, you know, so-and-so on the Huffington Post wrote today about President Bush. The liberal author went on to say that Bush is the worst president in the history of the galaxy.
So you're not really reporting news, it's opinion.
I'm reporting what blogs are talking about.
Mm.
And it's so odd because they also tell us that you don't want to do more than like two or three lines for a story. So it's literally a snapshot of like four or five blogs, three times an hour.
Three times an hour.
Yeah.
Okay,
every
wow.
20 is like almost like 2020 news that you might hear on other stations that still.
You mean like WINS kind of thing where it's where they do the summary first?
It's literally just a summary. There's nothing really too in-depth about it. It's a lot like, you know, I'm trying to think of how to compare it, but there really is no comparison. That is why it is, one, for me, in the beginning, difficult to do,
because
there was no template involved. You were just told to, you know, do your best.
Okay.
Actually,
now, that's kind of fun.
I've gotten the hang of it now.
Yeah.
I can now, it's a lot like when I was doing news, traditional news. You know, I read, like the first couple paragraphs of a blog. I don't have time to read the entire thing.
No, of course not. A blog, and then, it takes 10 minutes to load some of these blogs.
Right.
It's all on one page.
And they're like, by my count, there are at least 3 blogs on the internet. At least 3.
Really? You think?
Maybe more than, definitely more than 5.
There were 7, but one shut down over there because of the economy. But
yeah, that's true.
They ran out of keys on their keyboard.
Give
several of them back.
That is very true. It's so unusual. It is so unique.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any radio outlet, terrestrial or otherwise, that is doing something like that. It makes indie talk. Indie short for independent.
I get that.
Politics
right.
For people who hate politics. Politics without the semantics. We're not going to sit there and tell you what a group of voters in Iowa or why they voted for Barack Obama.
Okay.
That's not what we're doing. We're going to take almost like a bullet point approach to politics. It's very like, here's a group of friends just talking about Iraq. That's the sense you get when you listen to it.
Oh.
We're not experts.
Just political, or do you also do entertainment or sports or
this? You know, there are a lot of branches within politics. You can cover the entertainment angle, you know.
Who supports who?
Right.
Yeah.
Or you know, SNL, now that they're back after the writers' strike, they have parodied
Hillary.
Pretty well
right.
The Democratic debates, painting Hillary Clinton to look like a whiny little girl and Barack Obama to look like a great orator, but totally empty and void of, you know, any substance. Both incredibly true.
although so
I
would, like yeah, middle
I'll
of the road.
Tell you one thing. I would vote for Barack Obama in November just to say that I single-handedly ended racism in this country. And I think that is probably the single best thing I have ever done in my almost 24 years on.
Well,
this you
could vote for Sherman Hemsley. That would do the same thing.
Well, I can't find him. I don't go to the East Side that often.
Oh. Oh well, I don't even know what that means. Oh, to the deluxe apartment.
Wow,
I blew that one. My mistake.
But yes, you certainly did.
Yeah,
you pull a Lewinsky. That's what we call a callback, in the comedy world. Not that I'm a comedian. A callback is a reference to something that was earlier discussed. I've learned a great deal in my life.
Well, because you've been doing radio for, I'm amazed you learned that much working here. When you were here at GBB, or, well, at NYG, where the other station where you were after WGBB for about 2 years. I don't know how much you learned there. There were some people there with a lot of radio experience,
yes.
And you probably learned a bit from them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've learned in my time, because it's amazing to say at 23 I've done radio for, you know, almost 8 years. I know. And just now on full-time basis, finally, like for the first time.
And one day you'll actually be good at it, which will really be exciting.
That's the goal.
Yeah,
I want to reach Dave Lefkowitz caliber of radio.
Oh.
Which is to say, doing this for absolutely nothing. And getting nothing out of it except
joy. And
joy, BJ's, whatever.
BJ's being the shopping club that we...
Right, you know, there's Sam's Club as well.
Yeah.
I'm so used to satellite radio.
Oh, so you can...
I got to say the F word on a couple shows ago. It was... I was quoting someone, but it was... I hesitated first. You know me. I don't curse off-air that often.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You Dave Lefkowitz, the Dave that we all have come to accept on radio...
Yeah.
...is actually a somewhat toned-down version of the Dave that I personally enjoy being around, especially when he doesn't have pants on.
And being under, yeah.
Yes. Or going under.
You are getting used to satellite radio, man.
Has the FCC shut us down yet?
No.
I'm talking to my imaginary intern.
We're under the radar here.
Way under the radar.
So how many people put together the blog show? Is it in the dog, doc or in the talk?
Talk.
T-A-L-K.
I have a bit of a cold, so my ability to communicate is now on par with Reagan and
with
his Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Or yours.
We start bombing.
Yeah, I'm going to offend everyone.
Good.
That's my goal in the next 45 minutes. I'm finally taking the Lefkowitz approach.
By the way, can we take some phone calls, too? And have,
sure. If you need help with your phone, we can help you.
631-888-8811. If you have a cell phone problem, ladies and gentlemen, 631-888-8811 is the number at WGBB. Talk to me, Dave Lefkowitz. Talk to my guest, Joe Salzone of Sirius Radio, and his show, Indie Talk, which he anchors and hosts.
No, and the channel is Indie Talk.
Oh, the channel's Indie Talk.
The show, there are two shows.
Okay.
The one that I serve as blogcaster.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I can skew it a little bit. It's not a straightforward newscast. I can be snarky if I want.
No.
I'm actually allowed to have a point of view now. It's so liberating. After 7 years of saying, here's the news from Washington.
Totally objective or as objective as it can
be. I can now, and I have so many times said, I voted for Ron Paul in the New York primary. But I don't agree with everything Ron Paul says.
Cool. Now, let me ask, how long is the show?
Pete's show is 3 hours long,
Who's
to five. Pete Dominic, the guy who hosts the show on which I serve as broadcaster.
Okay, then, so you come on like a couple of times an hour.
Three
times an hour to do for 3 hours. So you do about 9 segments over the course of a show. Okay.
7 of which are actually written. The last two I just,
Oh, okay.
I basically take old scripts and put them together. Same thing I did here.
Now, when does Pete's show air again?
Pete Dominic's show is 2 to 5. That's the live
daily
version.
On,
then
on
it, you know,
weekdays.
It replays often. Yeah. 2 to 5 on, if you have Sirius Radio, and you should. If you don't, we're going to kill you. Channel 110. It on the Sirius Radio, it'll say Court TV. That hasn't been fixed yet.
Oh,
Court
so
TV no longer airs. It used to be...
Court now TV. It's called Indie Talk.
Right.
And the three-hour show that you're part of is Pete Dominic's show. So, all right. I got that part straight. It's only taken 16 minutes of time here to do that. That's the anchoring.
Right.
Where does the hosting come
The hosting comes in at 5 Eastern. 5 to 6 p.m.
Oh, so your day isn't done then,
right? In a different studio.
Uh-huh.
So our little staff has to run down the hall with about like 3 minutes to get ready. I love it, though. It's like such a great rush.
It's like 1950s television. It really,
pretty much. And, you know, we all wear skinny ties and go after communists.
Actually, before you even continue, is there a dress code or do you just kind of...
No, there is no dress code. And as a matter of fact, everyone at Sirius Radio is encouraged to be themselves.
Huh.
You know, if you were to take a look at, for example, the offices or the workstations, people bring in their, personal, they add their little personal touch to it.
Well, you should be able to, any office
should be
able
to. And it's nice because, you can, I feel like, because everyone there is pretty much sarcastic. So automatically, I fit in. This is the first time I felt like, I actually belong. 2 years at a Christian station, and now I finally belong somewhere. and 5 years at whatever the hell this place is.
I don't know what this place is.
I don't know.
I'm just happy it's here.
It's a good place to die.
It's been around here a lot longer than Sirius has.
True, and it'll probably be here a lot longer.
After Sirius is gone, and so the satellite crashes, and
especially
they find another way to...
Especially if Stern dies. he does get paid $500 million and has brought in something like 7.5 million subscribers, so he really is God over there. Even I have to give him that.
But has he been worth it?
I have not.
We're talking about Howard Stern.
But, by the
Sirius
way,
Radio. Yeah.
Because people always ask me this when they find out that I work for Sirius Radio. One, no, I've never met Howard Stern. Two, no, I do not work for Howard Stern. Three, no, do I listen to Howard Stern. I didn't when he was on K-Rock. I've never liked that genre.
That's cool. I did. I mean, I was a pretty devoted listener for a couple of years, and I got tired of him, and then I went back to him, and so I do kind of miss him sometimes. I miss what he does with the news. That's probably my favorite thing, the last hour of his show.
I have met a few of his minions.
Well, you mean like Robin, or do you mean like lower down?
Lower people. Yeah. People who are on the floor on which I work, 36. What is it, High-Pitched Eric?
Oh, you met, High-Pitched.
I've seen him. I've never met him.
Yeah.
Ralph Howard. I don't know if you knew this, but there are two Howard Stern channels. One actually has news. And Ralph Howard, who comes from WCBS News Radio and 1010 Winds, he's a fixture in New York News Radio, is there. He's the only Stern guy that I have introduced myself to, because he's a news guy.
Right, well, yeah.
And it was so interesting talking to him. I approached him as he was coming out of the Stern newsroom, which is such a paradoxical moment.
Yeah. Actually, we should really explain that on this other Howard Stern channel, I haven't heard it, but he has anchor people covering.
Right,
the
Penny
news.
Crone was there for a while. She's not there anymore.
Oh, why'd she leave?
Beats me.
But they were report. These were people from the real. You used to see them on Channel 5 News in the morning or the Eyewitness News kind of people, and now they only report on anything affecting Howard Stern or what happens on the show. It's this weird. I'm amazed that it's still around. I'm amazed that people still care enough.
It must be a nice way to collect a paycheck.
Hell yeah.
I mean, that's probably a good bookend to a career, I'd have to say.
Well, Ralph Howard's probably up there a little bit. I don't know if Penny Crone was
Ralph
old enough
Howard
to.
Ralph Howard is. First of all, if you know what Ralph Howard looks like, this is a guy who has always had a beard, a very neatly trimmed beard.
Uh-huh.
It's gone white, of course.
Oh,
and he's got to be in his, I would say, 60s by now.
Okay.
Because he was on CBS in the 70s. So, he was very nice to me.
Good.
I told him that I would make him a CD because his voice appeared on it. This is like a montage of 880, and I have to leave that on his desk Monday. Please don't let me forget that date.
Okay, everybody call and remind Joe before he leaves the studio at midnight tonight that he has to leave the CD on Ralph Howard's desk. The number is 631-888-8811. 631-888-8811. All you got to do is call and say, Joe, bring the CD. So
it would be very much appreciated.
Joe Salzone, Jeff Goodman joining me, Dave Lefkowitz in the studio at WGBB. We're just talking. But
in case you want to know, who are these people on my radio?
Call me.
Who are these voices coming out of that talking box on my dashboard?
631.
Because I doubt anyone listens to radio anywhere else.
Hey, I got one of the things I'm going to do on Dave's Gone By tonight is we got letters last week, man, emails from people.
Well,
people are listening.
It's those darn frogs.
Well, yeah, people like, we had the Grohl frog guy.
I heard part of that.
What do you mean part of it?
And here's what I kept hearing. Are you there? I thought, the first time that was charming, the second time annoying, the third time I went ahead and did other work. That was awful. That was the worst part of Dave's Gone By in the history of the whole show.
You, my friend, have just talked yourself out of a grower frog.
Darn! I thought the interview was all right. It took a while. There were times that he seemed to be on some sort of phone delay, but he wasn't. It was more
was
like
he calling
a,
from Baghdad or something?
Amazingly enough, he was probably calling from Massapequa or
no,
worse, New Jersey.
Florida.
Was he in Florida?
He was in Florida. He grew up in Massapequa. Were you not paying attention
no,
to him?
No, I was just trying to get to talk to him.
Dave was hosting another show in his head.
He was doing research. He got the albino frog. Remember all that?
Vaguely. The thing is, I have not been able to listen back to last week because I left the mini disc here. We had a glitch last week because I was taping it in stereo format instead of mono. Not that anybody cares about this.
Mono,
so
mono.
No, mono's the disease. Mono is mono. Well, all right, mono. How do you say that someone is really fastidious? I'm asking this of Jeff Goodman. Really fastidious and very kind of picky. What's the word?
I'm thinking it doesn't have four letters.
Well, no,
Persnickety.
Right. Well, Joe gave us a very interesting fact.
Persnickety is the anglicized version. The correct pronunciation is pernickety.
I did not know that. That the word is actually pernickety.
Either way, it sounds like a fun word to say.
I like with the S, though. I'm used to the S.
I'm going to stick with the S myself.
Persnickety.
I'm going to stick with the S hole, as it were.
Yeah. Why did we Anglos put a snick in it, an S in front of the nick?
Probably easier to say. I don't know. The way we've changed a lot of words, and then and they've kind of evolved.
I don't know, Governor.
How did Abram turn into Abraham in the Bible? You know, God threw him an extra H. And that's what we were taught. God's like, okay, I'm represented by the letter H, so I'm going to put an H in Abraham, and that was it. And we went from Abram to Abraham. We were taught this in Hebrew school. I swear.
Was it little Hebrew school?
I still am trying to find out
how
Ishmael became...
Ahab? No.
No.
I love Bible talk.
That's right.
It reminds me of the last 2 years of my life.
And just wait, because in 90 more minutes, it's time for...
Our gospel all night until the morning on WGBB AM 1240. Jeff is kind enough to bring me a taco. The only reason I keep him here is the food and the lift.
wait, the what?
No, well, he's kind enough usually to drive me home.
Would you like a gordita or a taco?
I think I'll pass on both.
No.
I'm on a very strict diet of coffee and vomit.
Oh, he's been sick all week also.
Yes.
Thanks for sharing. Oh, and thank you for sharing the charm.
So you do sound like you have still something in the throat, but you sound okay, Joe.
That's what she said.
Thank you so much. Glad you're feeling
good. I am just not making enemies.
This is just degenerated.
I could have so many things. I appreciate it.
So, Jeff, how was your week?
My weekend was another sucky week.
Oh, why?
I don't know. That was just the way.
Sucky is an okay word.
I guess for you, sucky is good.
No, it's bad. No, it's a bad week.
Why?
Depressed. You have a clinical low-level depression, dude.
I'm telling you.
I'm not joking about it.
And some people call up and go, oh, I think Jeff's hilarious. It's my life. It's disgusting.
Hmm. Everybody, first of all, Jeff lost his father a few months ago. And I just thrown him into a tailspin.
Well, whatever.
Yes. Yes, it has. And I mean, we don't talk about it much on the air, but if we're going to talk about it, let's be honest. And you said you were going to start to
but
see
the Jeff Richards
someone help
call me, and I got tickets to the homecoming.
Homecoming.
Homecoming, yeah.
Won't you join me, please, in homecoming? Yes.
Is this an intervention?
Kinda.
All right.
If need be. No, because
shouldn't only his friends be involved? Like, should I just leave the room?
He has no friends, so we're not going to. No, but Jeff has. I don't know if you stop me if you don't want me to say this, but there have been also days or almost weeks where you're in that situation
not. I've been very bad.
Right. That's not good.
Oh, and I did get finally the woman because one of my friends, a couple of people convinced me that I should kind of maybe go see someone like a therapist. Mm-hmm. So I called and I tried to get a therapist. The therapist called me back this week and she said, well, can you meet on Saturdays? I said, no, I kind of work on Saturdays doing parties.
That's true.
And then she started telling me, well, my home's under renovation and I usually have a home office, but I have to do the Garden City things. I rent an office there and it's only on Saturdays. I said, well, I can meet.
You know what? That's when you hang up.
I know.
When a therapist has more trouble than you do.
I know. And so I called up one of my friends who did this, and I said, you know, maybe this isn't the right one.
No. I got someone I can possibly recommend to.
I'm working through so it's actually a very interesting program in Adelphi.
Oh.
It's a graduate program, you know, where a postdoctoral thing for a psychiatrist, and to get clinic hours, what they do is they see you on a sliding scale, which is pretty good because...
Well, money's tight for everybody these days.
And no one's
been
calling the fancy-schmancy balloon number that we'll give you out in the next hour. Even though we offered 50% off last week, right?
No, it was 20.
20, nothing.
Nothing. Oh, well. Well, you know, not everybody's having... Not people are in a party mood in the middle of March.
But
Although, say Patrick's Day.
You could book parties for next year. I don't care.
That's true.
But anyway,
well, people are taking bets on whether you'll still be alive by next year.
Oh, I'll still be
here. Either you'll be suicidal or just, you know, you got to watch the weight and the heart, and so, you know.
The weight's been okay, believe it or not.
I have you, you know, just below Queen Elizabeth as far on the pool. Sorry, that's horrible.
What do you mean?
That was evil.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
I'm not contributing
Why
anything
am I
to this.
Blue Queen Elizabeth. I thought that was Prince Philip.
Is he still? Where
he's
is
still
he
alive.
Yeah, he would be young. He's like, oh, from Iraq. He just came back, right?
No, that's William. Philip's his father, his grandfather, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Philip is Queen Elizabeth's
husband. Oh, that's right.
So
he's
therefore,
still there.
He would be beneath her.
Hmm. I saw that movie, The Queen. I should know this. Hmm. Good movie too.
He just kept waiting for Charles Bush to make an appearance.
Goes over everybody else's head, except mine, because we know theater stuff. Mm. Okay, now back to Joe, because he's been sitting there patiently. What have you? What
oh,
you
no,
serving?
Please, go on. This is much more riveting. Tell me about more of your downward spiral.
Actually, that is good radio.
It is.
Someone's troubles.
I know, people love when I talk about how horrible my life is.
Well, I mean, if you are spending a lot, a lot of your daily hours not getting out of bed or your room, this is a bad thing.
This is really not what I thought we'd be
talking. Talking
on
well, radio. Picking on a topic then. Well, I'm also trying to get you to see somebody.
And then of course, I listened to Channel 2, and Mike Wallace goes, if you're depressed like I was, like, what the hell does Mike Wallace have to be depressed about?
What's the frequency, Mike? Well, no, that's Dan Rather.
That was Dan Rather.
I know.
Mm. As we like to call him, Philip.
Well, you know what? Mike Wallace was probably depressed when he lost that job, even though he's old.
He retired. He didn't lose any jobs. Dan Rather got fired. Oh. Mike Wallace was 60 Minutes.
Oh, so I am confused here. So why was he depressed?
I don't know.
He has nothing to be
encouraging me to get therapy on the TV. He came right through the TV and goes, Jeff Goodman, get therapy. Mm. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. So if anyone's in therapy, please call up and tell me if it's working, because I don't know if I should do it.
You really don't know if you should do it?
No, well, I'm...
No, you have to find the right person.
Yeah, and I haven't found the... Well, this woman...
Well, no, not that
right
woman. Not, oh, I can't see... Because my house and the
I'm
thing
you.
Fell in...
She
and
could see me any day except Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Oh, man.
Now, and she said she'd call me back, and she didn't call me back.
Then you know what? This is not someone that you should even be concerned with. Fine. What, you don't think there are a lot of therapists?
It's kind of what I told my friend today. When she told me that, because I had to meet her for a 9:30 meeting. Mm. Thanks, Lucy.
What's wrong with 9:30? That's a human time to be...
Yeah, but I'm a late-night person.
Okay. I know, I told
but
you
I
this afternoon
because
at 2
I'm
o'clock.
Be helping do my Purim Carnival at my synagogue. Oh. Do you want to come to the Purim Carnival?
When is it? And don't say on Purim. When is it physically?
The Purim Carnival is going to be the 16th.
It's the week before.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
because cool. Purim and Easter are the same day.
Well, what time?
At I believe it's going to be about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so you can make it.
That might be for, yeah, you just spend a little time and come here. I might do that.
Because, as a matter of fact,
do they
I
need the services
Dave,
of a rabbi?
The rabbi is actually, Dave has convinced the rabbi to make an appearance at our Silver Shekel Saloon in May.
He's looking forward to that. I'm talking about Rabbi Saul Solomon, by the
Who
way.
Who will be marrying people?
Oh, my God. Mm. You know, he's only semi-ordained. He's fully circumcised, but only semi-ordained.
No, that's okay. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for the acid reflux.
That's also right. So you have to be a frequent, regular listener to get these kinds of things. Rabbi Saul Solomon appears occasionally on this program, on Dave's Gone By, and he hosts a weekly cable show called Shalom, damn it, Rabbi Saul Solomon.
I thought we got rid of him. He hasn't been on for a while.
Well, he airs every week. He just hasn't had a new episode until now, this week.
No, I mean, we got rid of him on Dave's Gone By because he's been so busy with...
No, as a matter of fact, you didn't really mention it. I did. Next week, Rabbi Saul Solomon will be back on Dave's Gone By interviewing...
Who is he going to assassinate? I mean, interview now.
Tova Feldshuh.
Oh, my God.
That'll be
I'm
interesting.
I'm so sorry.
That'll be kind of... I mean, he's talked to a lot of Jewish people with rare riot incidents. He has not had problems with, like, Bruce Adler or with Fivish Finkel. Had a lovely
May
time
I
with...
Can I mention one word?
What's that?
Mandy Patinkin.
Mandy Patinkin is a lunatic.
It's two words.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's actually a name.
But, I mean... You cannot judge anything by the behavior of Mandy Patinkin.
Mandy Patinkin hung up on the rabbi.
Right. And it was actually, for Mandy Patinkin, that was civil. Mandy, I mean, it is known within the industry he's insane.
That's not nice.
I'm normally not like this about celebrities or dishing dirt, but all you have to do is read the columns.
Yet he's successful, and we're not.
Tremendously successful. Okay, fine.
Speak for yourselves.
Hmm. I saw Sunday in the Park with George. I would have loved to have seen him in it. But, you know, it's... All I'm saying is, anybody who's worked with him, anybody who's done, you know, they had equity charges against him when he was on stage.
I just love the fact he gets all upset because he hung up on the rabbi.
Well, yeah.
Before he hung up on the rabbi, did you like him?
No, because I...
Don't lie.
No, I've been warned.
Deal
I have
or no
been
deal.
Warned by the press person who set up the interview. He said, well, you know Mandy's crazy. I said, yeah. I was warned by Mandy's
people. That might
people.
Be the worst press person ever. They should work for the Bush administration.
Not his right. PR person, the PR person for the event that...
Oh, okay,
was,
then they're not yeah. really protecting... Okay.
No. He has no desire to protect, but I was like, hey, can we get Mandy? Will he talk to the rabbi? And they said, yes, and I said, does Mandy Patinkin know what the rabbi's like, and that it's comedy, and that it's going to be whatever? And he's like, yes, he
Are
knows.
Are you sure
he
you
knows.
Really said this?
Oh, yeah.
Or did you say this after the fact?
No, I made very, very sure that they knew, because I knew what I was going to be dealing with. So,
okay.
He gets on the phone, we talk briefly before the interview, no problem.
Because
and then
he didn't talk to the rabbi before.
The rabbi says one line, and Mandy Patinkin says, I don't think I'm going to do this, bye, and hangs up.
Well,
and that's when the rabbi, of course, went off on him.
I see his point, though.
Was it live? On the top of his head? No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't live.
Well, he hung up on the taping.
Yeah.
So it was live for him.
What?
Well, you were taping it live. It wasn't like it was... He didn't have any pre-warning of what the rabbi was like.
Well, he didn't hear the rabbi, but he was told that it would be a comic character that he'd be talking to. He knew it was going to be a comic.
He wasn't told that.
Well, who knows?
I'm not so sure because... no.
Well, anyway.
I don't think he was prepared for it.
Possibly not.
I wasn't prepared for it.
Well, you know what? He heard the word, damn it. He heard the rabbi say, or actually I think it was God damn it, that the rabbi said. And then he said, oh, I don't think, you know, he suddenly got a bad feeling and hung up.
Well.
Same feeling I get when I talk to you two.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's that little, like, throw up in the
Maybe his BlackBerry died, and that he was just covering. That could be it.
I think I saw him in the newsroom at Sirius, so
yeah,
it's possible.
Was he throwing anything? Was he,
He was just throwing up.
Smacking people around like he did on stage, or no?
Yes.
We read about him in the Wild Party. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. Okay? He was, this co-star didn't want to go near him. He was like Nicole Williamson. He was out of control.
Nicole Williamson?
Yeah, remember from I Hate Hamlet? Stop that. Nicole Williamson was appearing in a show called I Hate Hamlet. It was Paul Rudnick's first hit. And Evan Handler was in it. God. Jeff is... What are you eating? Oh, it must be guacamole or something from the Taco Bell.
That's sour cream, that's why.
Oh, so, yeah. And he's eating in a certain way that is so revolting. Well, no, I mean, I'm sorry. No, if I were... Not straight, it might not be, but...
Oh, yeah. That's right, we were into... Actually,
that's what we were talking about.
Isn't that what we kept telling you? Did you know Dave's not gay?
He's not?
Nope. Surprise. That's what he said.
I'm shocked.
I think we should take a poll.
A poll up...
Isn't that your job? Thank you.
I don't get none of that either.
This was such a high level...
I don't get out of bed and people don't get into my bed.
Oh, well. Well, at least not in this country.
Those poor house boys of yours.
This was such a high-level conversation 45 minutes ago.
But no, I think that I would challenge anyone listening out there to dial us.
Please.
At area code 631-888-8811.
As long as that's all they
And
do
we're
do
going
this.
To take a poll whether Dave should be gay or not.
Hmm.
Whether you think he should be gay.
Okay, 631-888-8811.
Or do you think Dave's actually lying and Joyce really is a man?
If it's her choice, they know she's not a man. But anyway, that's
Well,
true.
We don't know what's underneath those pants.
Well, I do.
What's that?
Anyway.
So do I.
Underpants. 631-888-8811. If you want to degenerate further, that's so good. And then you showed up.
80-plus years of history. Rich tradition this station represents. And we defy
Oh, please,
it.
You had strippers on there one time.
And a porn star.
Oh, my God. We have a caller.
Welcome to the Is Dave Gay Hotline.
$10 at this Joyce.
WGBB.
Am I gay?
You're on the air.
Hi, this is Mark Torres from the Comic Novice Radio Show. I'm accepting Jeff's challenge.
You're accepting. This is Mark Torres from the Comic Book Novice, which airs Thursday nights at 9 or 9:30.
Yes, I'm accepting Jeff's challenge to see if you're not gay. I have met your wife, Dave. Mm-hmm. Dave's not gay.
Thank you.
But should he be gay?
Oh, should he be gay?
Should I be gay?
That's an interesting point. Well, you know the whole thing about gay in theater, so he can go either way for hosting the show.
So would you vote him bisexual?
Oh, bisexual. Okay, well, we can say that he's bisexual for the purposes of hosting the show.
And by the way, I'm quatrosexual.
What does that mean?
I'll do anything for a quarter.
In fact, you're going all on fours. Yeah, hell. I'm a trisexual, actually. I'll try anything. Well, that's actually not true.
Right now, I'm a no-sexual.
Oh, poor Joe.
Poor thing. The longest thing he has on his body is his nose.
It's a big nose.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's reaching halfway across the room, in fact.
It's made many women happy. Right, Pinocchio?
Lie. Tell the truth. Okay. Old joke. So, Mark Torres, are you getting any?
Not tonight.
The comic book guy.
Do you have a girlfriend? Do you,
By the way, do you like...
Wait, will you let someone answer a question?
This is why I hung up last week.
Yeah, actually, I remember. I heard you hang up last week, Joe, actually.
It was delightful.
Wasn't it horrible? It was terrible.
I was like, why he hanged up on him for? That's not cool.
Did you hear the reason? His BlackBerry died. He was actually not angry or anything like that.
Well, I was annoyed.
He said he was going to hang up, and then he did.
That's right. And now we're in a mourning period for his BlackBerry for some reason.
Well, it's working again. He's got it.
I charged it.
Yeah. So, Mark, so are you single? And where are you
so
at?
So we now call his BlackBerry Jesus.
I recently broke up with my fiance.
Oh,
so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why? Why
well,
is that?
Not your fault.
Yeah, oh, she probably deserved it.
Maybe it was.
Or was it?
So, can you want to talk about it, or you want to curse her out on the air or something? Using language,
not at
we can.
All. It was
can
a
we,
very amicable separation.
No! I want to use someone else's pain for humor on the show instead of mine.
How long were you together?
We were together for 8 years.
Oh my gosh!
So in was a it totally non-sexual way, huh?
Well,
in a very unusual way.
But did it come down to the marry me or else thing, or the I want kids
actually,
I don't
no,
thing?
They were fiancéed.
Yeah.
We were engaged for at least 4 out of those 8 years.
Right.
But basically, it was just we just kind of just started going our separate ways.
She liked Batman. You like Superman. That kind of thing.
Actually, it was just she just went full time for school, and then I went full time with my job and radio show. So it just kind of floated apart, and we were like, I don't think this is going to work out. Like, okay.
Cool.
So it was a very amicable separation. It wasn't
like
anybody.
Yeah, you seem fine with it.
Have you two maintained any kind of friendship?
Yeah, we talk all the time. We're good buddies.
Hey, Dave, I have a relationship question for you. Since,
sure.
Since Joyce is
Ask
in
Mr.
Philadelphia
Dave.
A lot
yes,
during the week.
And he's not gay.
And, right. And you're allegedly not gay.
Uh-huh.
What do you do?
What do you mean?
First of all, how often do you...
Do you self-satisfy?
No, I was not going
no,
to
No, he wasn't
direction.
Going there. Where were you
how
going?
How often do you and Joyce talk during the week?
Oh, almost every day. She'll call just to tell me how she's doing, or if she's heading from like one train
Remind
to another.
He's not gay.
Yeah, right. Well, no, I mean it's just for a few minutes usually, because she knows I get kind of impatient on the phone. I don't like.
So
I'm like
really
yakking
sucks,
on the
huh?
phone. I love being on. I can talk in front of a mic for hours, but put me on a telephone with someone. I'm like, okay, you know, impart the information you have to impart to me, and then you know, talk to you soon.
That's
Bye.
Interesting because you and I have talked on the phone. Many times. I never got the sense that you were like, all right, that's enough.
We would not talk for more than 20 minutes.
True.
And usually I was trying to get something from you. If there's a motive involved.
I still want my blue dress back.
And we're still trying
to
figure out how he can say that and say he's not gay.
So that's...
And not only that, and I'm so opposite that, because I talk to anybody and everybody on the phone for hours on end. As a matter of fact, I was so exhausted, my friend Pat called me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I fell asleep on the phone. While I was talking to her. And I don't think it's the first time I've done that.
I've done that in my college days when I was making friends and stuff, but I'm not on the phone with anybody for that long.
You don't have any friends left.
What happens to me, I get a physical reaction. If I feel that I'm on the phone 1 minute too long, my body tenses up, my hand starts gripping the phone like it's squeezing, into a fist. and I start pacing around the room. I feel like a trapped animal, and I cannot get off the
ground. And I'm the one with problems?
Oh, I'm a walking encyclopedia of problems.
You know, I find that it depends with whom I'm talking. If it's for certain friends, I can talk to them on the phone for hours.
Really?
And other friends, it's like, you know, a few minutes, and they're like, all right.
Can I ask the person on the phone how they feel about being on hold for hours?
Well, Mark, how's your phone's savvy, or what do you do?
Actually, I'm a very limited phone person. You know, just get to the point, why are you calling?
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you have to talk to, like, somebody who you haven't spoken for a while. And I think, like, a good half an hour is my limit.
That sounds about right.
Oh, that's nothing.
Because by then, you've run out of stuff to talk about.
Well, but I have to say also that it is a little different for me, because a lot of times when I'm doing business or calling people, it's on my business phone, and I have nothing else that I... It's not cordless. So I have to sort of sit there, be there at this phone, whereas if I'm on another phone that we have, I can at least be in the room and flip TV channels silently. And that will kind of occupy me enough.
Well, you have
that
a cell phone too, right, Dave?
But just for emergencies.
I think I've asked you for the number, and you're like, I don't know what the number is.
I don't.
He doesn't give it out.
No, only my mother-in-law, my mom, and my wife.
I have.
Not in that... by accident, because it showed up on your caller ID.
That's right. But I don't dare call it, because I'll be crucified.
Because if you do, you'll invariably get me at the theater, you know. That's the thing I dread.
It's a female-only line then, right?
Well, come to think of it. Yeah. Yeah, and only women. Yeah. I got it going. I'm rocking that cell phone.
Yeah, don't say that ever again. You single-handedly ended, all race relations by that one remark. Now the civil rights movement are going to think that this, like, little Jewish guy is using our vernacular, which in itself is a white word, and they're like...
How is rocking my cell phone a remotely...
First of all, you said rocking. It should be rockin'.
Rockin',
you know,
sorry.
Yeah. And apostrophe.
Yeah.
And two, don't ever say it again.
Okay.
It just sounds so... It's like me saying full show. Which I do say.
You really?
On 42nd Street, to my hooker.
Yeah. Oh, you do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Have your own personal hooker?
Yes, I do.
He makes good money now.
Her name is Disney.
I think Minnie.
That's the only hooker left on 42nd Street.
Yeah, right.
That and that Applebee's. I don't know.
She has two teeth.
And they're spaced just the right.
I'm like a vampire with a bad dental plan.
She would have two teeth. Not two teeth. She would have two teeth.
I suppose that's right.
Yeah.
And she tells a tooth.
We're degenerating again. Okay. So how do we...
Can we ask you the questions?
Oh, it's Ebonics time. Let's not get offensive on this. Come on.
I just hate people who can have no command of the English language.
Why is that so common? My wife thinks, I've talked about this with Joyce, that it has to do with... That's a word that they want to say that way because it's their pronunciation of that word. Yeah. Ax instead of ask. Whereas I think it's just incorrect. I think they just don't realize they got it wrong.
You know what I think a lot of people say that I think is horrible, too?
What?
They go, come again.
Well, that's a, well...
Well, it started, if you think about it, and I won't explain the origin.
No.
Yes!
It didn't come from that.
Yes, it is. Come again is that.
No.
Yes.
How did you, what was that, from Wikipedia? Where did you hear that?
That's where, because that's how it started. When they...
Right, okay, but...
It was a joke. It was the end of a several jokes in the 70s. Come again? It's like... But
really?
I've never heard that before.
No.
Well, you guys weren't alive in the 70s.
And I think that phrase goes back before.
I don't think so. Well, I can't stand it. That's one phrase I can't.
I was interviewing a couple authors a couple days ago, and we somehow got on the topic of grammar and how... poor a lot of people's grammar are, especially in my generation, people in their early 20s.
Grammar would be an is.
True.
How poor am your grammar? Yeah. It'd be bad?
It am good.
Mm. Don't forget we have a caller on hold.
No, he's not on hold. He's just listening.
Okay. But I don't want us to ignore the people for calling in.
Mark, you there?
Yes, I am.
Mark is still there. He's
I think
patient.
I think he put his down.
Are you in a car? I think are you driving?
I am driving home.
I hope we're on a handless cord.
Me too.
We haven't reached that 30-minute limit. Have you, happy with you, Mark?
Actually, I'd have to, I mean, hold on. I'm passing a toll, hold on.
Is he putting us on hold?
You're passing a hold?
Well,
and
I'm the gay one, huh?
That's called the Grand Canyon.
Thank you.
Wow. It's only 14 minutes.
Oh, so Where are you now, by the way? What stretch of road?
I am just entering the Bronx.
Ooh. And you're still getting us on your radio, entering the Bronx?
Well, I hear you on my phone.
Oh, that's right.
Smart man. They went to college.
Dave, I know grammar, at least.
Dave's gone by.
Yeah, you know what? Let's get to it. Dave's gone by. Right after this, it's going to be Paul Tracy is our special guest, plus Joe Salzongo is going to hang with us, and Jeff Goodman.
Who's
I'll explain
that?
Everything in just a moment or two. Don't go away. You're listening to WGBB Freeport. You're listening to AM 1240 or AM 1240 WGBB.com. You're listening to Dave's Gone By. You're obviously a very lonely person. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight!
Well, there goes the Daverhood, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this first Sunday in March, March 2nd, 2008, to the 262nd episode of Dave's Gone By. I'm thrilled to be here, and more people than are usually on here, or I think there's more people going to be on the air for the next couple of minutes than are actually listening to the show right now. Maybe not, but I'm thrilled that I have in studio, first of all, my usual guest co-host, the one and only, and the only and one, Jeff Goodman. Hello, Jeff Goodman.
Hi, the person whom we now take for granted.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, because, you know, you're here every week. And then we have a special guest who'll be joining us for a bit. His name is Joe Salzone, former WGBB staff member.
He's and a GBB alumnus.
He is an alum. Now he works over at Sirius Satellite Radio. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, Dave.
Whoops. Hey, what happened to your
And he has a BlackBerry, too.
He does. He does indeed. And he's using it incessantly, even as we're on the air.
What
are you looking at your BlackBerry, Joe?
I'm actually having an IM conversation with a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Why isn't he listening to the radio?
She, and I believe she actually is listening.
Oh,
but that's more for my benefit, not any of you.
Oh, certainly. I believe
so
that.
Are you having kind of simul sex or something?
No.
It's a little radio sex.
I can see the BlackBerry from here, and she's wearing a pink bra. Interesting. And speaking of someone wearing a pink bra, on the phone is also Mark Torres.
That's the worst intro ever.
I know. Mark Torres is
a pink bras.
Comic book novice, which airs Thursday nights on WGBB. He just happens to be in the car listening, so keeping him on here for just a couple of minutes is
an
open show.
And he's talking on a hands-free device.
Yes, he is. He's obeying the law. Hello, Mark.
Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm obeying the law, sort of.
It's a stupid law. Sorry. No, so what do you mean it's a stupid law?
For all the police been following you, how are you not obeying the law?
Well, it's the only reason it's that they have the whole cell phone thing is because just quickly in Los Angeles, I believe, some guy went to pick up his cell phone to make a phone call, and he went across four lanes of traffic and he killed a young girl.
Okay,
that's why they made the law.
Well, I mean, it is a fairly sensible thing. You should be using. I learned both hands on the wheel, and what was it? It was the 10-4 position, 10-2, 10-2 position. Yeah.
As a libertarian, I don't like the government telling me what I can and cannot do in my car.
Including a seatbelt?
I wear a seatbelt because it's common sense. I don't answer my phone because I don't have a hands-free device. I don't answer my phone when I'm driving.
Right.
I don't like the fact that I'm not allowed to. To me, it's just common sense.
Hmm.
Of course you don't.
But people are stupid.
Of course.
Well, not you, Mark. Well, I'm saying, but
is
people.
Is it most laws for common sense? Don't rob banks. Don't shoot people. But they tell you it's a law anyway. That's the whole point.
And yet people still rob banks and kill people.
If you're on a motorcycle, wear a helmet. But
except for that woman who returned the money to the North Fork Bank.
What was that?
You didn't hear about the woman she robbed banks to feed her cat or something?
Okay.
No.
Was her name Carol Chang?
No. But it was the North Fork Bank, I believe, in Queens or something. And then she came back a couple of days later, and she felt bad about robbing the bank, and she returned the money.
And then they arrested her, and she's going to spend a lot of time in prison. Oh, well. Well, hey, you know, maybe. Well, if she hasn't found Jesus already, she'll find him in prison.
But you never know. She might not go to prison because, actually, she was remorseful. which is a very big thing to be in court.
I'm remorseful about being on the show.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not even faking it. That's the thing. Well,
I never do.
Well, anyway, Mark, tell us real quick who's going to be on your show this Thursday, because I've got to move along and do some other stuff on the program.
And I have a question for him, too.
Okay. But first, Mark, what's your who's your guest on Comic Book Novice on Thursday?
This week it's going to be from ComicMix.com. It's a new source for comic books. It's going to be Chris Rau, R-U-B, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And what is your question for me?
I want to know if you like comic books, so... Do you like the TV show Heroes, which basically is a comic book television show?
Believe it or not, I was supposed to see it. I'm one of those guys that has to see a show from beginning to end.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And I missed the first episode, so I didn't get a chance to see it. So now I have to wait until I get some time to watch this whole DVD season. But I see that the second season is not doing as well, and it is written by a comic book guy.
Right. But, well, the second season, it was great the first season. But then they killed off so many of the regular characters. They brought in all... It's becoming ridiculous in the second season.
And also, the weird thing about Mark's rule is, he has not seen Good Morning America. He just won't do it. I thought it was a good line. Oh, well.
Oh.
Never watched Sesame Street.
Yeah, there you go.
He missed, the first half of the alphabet.
Days of Our Lives. He saw the second episode of Days of Our Lives just because he was in somebody else's house.
Never watched the news because he never saw the first ever newscast.
Exactly. If you had known Marconi, you would... don't know what the final Farnsworth. Anyway, Mark, thanks for hanging with us, however briefly. And thanks for hanging in the last half.
And what's your favorite
hour.
Radio show?
Yeah.
My favorite radio show?
Well, his own. What? Sorry?
My favorite radio show is Days Gone By.
Thank you.
And what's your favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show right now, I would say Family Guy.
Really?
Well, Family Guy's hysterical. It's hilariously
And what's your
funny.
Favorite non-animated TV show?
Well, it has Adam West on it, so you can't be wrong if you have Adam West on a show.
Yeah, this is true. Well, what's your favorite non-animated?
Favorite public access show?
Favorite that's on the air now?
Okay.
Or just like in general?
Whichever you can answer faster. Yeah.
Well, not trying to be my favorite. Married with Children is also another classic.
What was that? Married with Children, yeah.
Kind of a Fox guy, aren't you?
Not Planning was on the Channel 2.
What?
Not Planning was on Channel 2.
Not Planning?
You never hear that.
Let's all say that together. Not Landing.
You never hear
that. Let's get Michelle Lee on the phone.
The third longest running primetime show on TV.
Well, have you all seen Joan Van Ark? Was she on that, too, or was she from the other thing?
Yes, she was. Joan Van Ark was on that.
Have you seen her on Nip Tuck? My wife has been watching that. She's scary looking now.
She's on. I saw her like 3 years ago on a regular daytime.
Good thing we're wrapping it up, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, I just haven't put. But she's like the next Jocelyn Wildenstein. They
no.
get some bad juju on her, man.
I like the Golden Girls. That's my favorite.
Oh yeah. Well, just.
Which one?
Betty White.
B, man. B.
Well, she's good too. But Betty White's character was just so.
You have to. You have to say the character name. I personally am a Sophia.
Sophia's the old one?
Dorothy's mom, who's actually the youngest person on the cast.
Yeah. Right.
And now suffers from Alzheimer's.
Is she still alive?
She's still alive.
Oh, well. Barely. Anyway.
Well, they're mid-90s, except for... mid-80s, I mean.
Yeah.
Except
Come on, what was... You still haven't told me what was Betty White's character's name.
Rosen Island.
Good for you, is it?
Yeah.
Dorothy Spornak, Blanche Devereaux, and Sophia Petrillo.
Woo! Joe wins the... What does Joe win, Jeff?
He gets a ticket to go outside and have a life.
On that note, let's do our sponsors.
I'm going to go to my full-time job tomorrow.
Sponsors of Dave's Gone By include Hewlett Minuteman Press, who are the...
Copy Kings of Broadway.
1315 Broadway in Hewlett. 516-569-5577. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners who go to Hewlett Minuteman Press.
And it's next to Lohman's Shoes.
It is, and across the street from the old Lohman's.
The greatest landmark ever.
Brought to you also by MortgagesRock.com.
Just because they do.
MortgagesRock.com, MortgagesRock.com. And by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the...
Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway.
Yeah. God, the whole table just shook.
PerformingArtsInsider.com.
Did I make the earth move for you?
Ooh. Put a little more of that cream sauce on. Anyway, PerformingArtsInsider.com is the place to find out about this wonderful, important theater journal that you can get at your business or place of residence either 12 times a year or 21 times a year. 12 times a year, big discount for Dave's Gone By listeners, only $120 for 12 huge issues. And finally...
Well, they're not that huge.
Hey, it's pretty big for a journal.
Not huge, but they're informational packed.
Yes. Okay, I'll give you that.
They're fact-filled.
Yes.
It's a plethora of information.
Well, now you're so pernickety.
Yeah. I was just going to use that line. Thank you, Joe.
Air five.
Yeah. Air five through the glass. And finally, speaking of Jeff Goodman here, in a non-pernickety way.
But no one calls.
Actually, someone did. Your sponsor thing is?
Fancy.
Yeah. There we go.
What is it?
Fancy Schmancy, right?
Yeah.
Fancy Schmancy balloons for all your party decorating needs. Want to expand a little bit quickly?
I'm just depressed.
Okay.
Get like free helium with every balloon purchase.
There you go.
All the air you can breathe. Call Jeff at 797.
We'll give you a little whipping of helium.
797-3229. 797-3229. Area code 516 for fancy schmancy balloons. If you're having a St. Patrick's Day party, call Jeff.
A
He's got the green
mitzvah,
balloons.
Communions are coming up.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Communion, big thing to get
Purim,
balloons.
Man. If you're having Purim parties, call
and
Jeff.
And I've just got
really
more
good.
Helium. Most people can't get it.
That's right. Anyway,
well, that was interesting.
Also brought to you by Shalom, damn it, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, Wednesday mornings at 7:30 on Long Island Woodbury Cablevision, Channel 20. That's the Cablevision most people get.
That's my fourth favorite show.
Thank you.
That comes after Golden Girls, Matlock, House, and then...
Ooh. Matlock!
Matlock!
I hated
Matlock.
What
about Columbo, man?
Columbo was never actually a TV show, actually. It was a series of TV movies.
Movies, that's true.
But, yeah, Columbo's good, too.
Cool. Anyway, I also wanted to say about
and
Shalom...
And you don't like The Amazing Race? What's wrong with you people?
I'm reality stuff. Show. But I want to mention, this is actually big news. I don't know if I had time to mention it last week, but Shalom Dammit is finally going to be on Manhattan.
Yes,
cable
you did mention
television.
It last
I did say,
week.
Yeah. It'll be airing a great time slot, too.
So
Sunday.
Now the rabbi's going to be annoying Manhattanites, too.
Yeah.
It'll be the first Jew in Manhattan ever.
Mass conversion there. Sundays, 1:30 in the afternoon on Channel 67 on MNN Network. It's Manhattan Cable Television.
That's actually a very professional operation.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who put together the public access show a couple years ago, I went with him to see the M&M studios.
Yeah.
And it's impressive. It's really, it's like almost like professional television.
Almost. It's
they
not
even
quite.
Have a logo on
yeah.
the bottom of the screen for all the shows. It's
yep.
pretty good.
Yeah, and they got a good, and they have also some web streaming. So if you're, this is kind of odd. Usually I'm telling all the New York listeners that if you want to watch the show from Long Island, you have to go on YouTube. And here, you can actually go on the internet and watch the show while it's streaming on MNN Sunday afternoons at 1:30.
Notes on your television.
On Channel 67, but also it'll still be on Long Island Cable, 7:30 on Wednesday mornings, Channel 20. And Shalom Dammit starts March 16th in New York, so it's not this weekend.
I have to see the actual TV version. I only watch them on YouTube.
Check it out. It's kind of cool on TV, I think. Anyway.
I miss Robo Rabbi Robics.
That
was the greatest sketch ever.
Thank you. Well, the rabbi will thank you for when he hears this episode. I don't even know what that means. Anyway, on tonight's episode, if there's time, probably won't be. We're already running incredibly late. Paul Tracy, who is was born in South Africa, came to Broadway with his brother when they did a variety show called Wait a Minim that was there in the late 50s, early 60s. Ended up staying in the States, becoming a songwriter and also a folk music musicologist and something of an ethnologist. Really charming guy and a pretty good songwriter, too. I always wanted to talk to him ever since I was a kid, hearing his music and seeing him on the TV show The Patchwork Family. I don't know if anybody remembers that. But it was a brief, it ran for maybe two seasons, probably one. And it was a, it kind of was like...
I guess it was the H.R. Puffin stuff that did him in.
What it was like CBS Sunday Morning, before there was a CBS Sunday Morning, but for kids. It was a newsy magazine show. For, like, higher-level children.
There was another show on CBS like that. It was called 30 Minutes, because it was co-anchored by Christopher Glenn, who late in his career went on to host the World News Roundup on CBS News Radio,
okay.
retired in 2005 and died a few months after that.
But you're much younger, so this would you're thinking in terms of 1980s, I think.
Yeah, that was because he also did.
Dave's talking 1930s.
No, well,
he also did In the News, which you might remember. You might recall.
Yes, I love
the News. I knew you would know that. That was Christopher Glenn was the voice of that.
Cool.
What happened to Schoolhouse Rock?
They turned it into an off-Broadway show. Not that that's remotely relevant, but yeah. What? Yeah.
Did they really?
Sure. There's a cast album and everything, yeah.
I can't wait to
see. I'm just a bill who's sitting on Capitol Hill, most wanting to become a law.
I can tell right now we're not going to have time for Inside Broadway. We'll try and have room for the news of it. And I want to read some letters at the end of the show. So anyway, let's get to Paul Tracy because...
Let's think about who was ever.
Oh, sorry. And yes, Mark Torres, thanks for being patient and calling
Jeff Goodman,
and hanging with us.
De facto producer.
Everybody listen to Comic Book Novice. When is it on?
9 o'clock every Thursday night.
On WGBB AM 1240, which carries this radio program, Dave's Gone By, which has commercials that sound just like this.
I know a place that is upside down, where they do everything they do wrong. I know a place that is upside down, where the sun keeps you cool all day long. From the time that it rises at 6 p.m. to the time that it sets at dawn, you can sit and grow younger and younger until you're young enough to be born. And I know in this land that is upside down, it's the old folks who go off to school. And at school in this land that is upside down, if you're good, you get spanked, for that's the rule. I know a place that is inside out, where they run when they want to stand still. And the trains in this land that is inside out never move at all, even downhill. And the birds walk around with four legs on the ground, while the animals fly through the air. And the men grow scales all along their long tails, and the fish grow most beautiful hair. And I know in this land that is inside out, that the pets all are pets of their own. And the folks in this land that is inside out all get fed once a day with a bone. I know a place that is back to front, all the clocks in the land go tock tick. And the folks in this land that is back to front, when they're well and they're terribly sick. When they smile and they're sad, when they frown and they're glad, when they laugh they're in awful pain. When they're hot they are not, when they're cold I am told they boil but never complain. And I know in this land that is back to front, that the animals go to the zoo. And they love it because it is back to front, what they see in the cages is you.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, and as I mentioned earlier in the program, I'm going to dip back a bit into my childhood for this guest, because he was a frequent visitor on a show that I used to watch when I was a kid. Well, not quite such a tiny little kid, and probably I was already a little older than I should have been when I was still watching this show, but it was called The Patchwork Family, and it was CBS TV's version of their Sunday morning show before they even had a Sunday morning show. It was treating kids like a bit smarter and a bit more creative than perhaps we all were, but I rather liked that. And one of the guests that they had on there was a fella who came a little bit from the musical theater world and just playing from the music world, was an expert in all sorts of instruments, and also wrote some of his own songs. And I found him just really charming, and the songs very catchy. Couldn't get them out of my head. So now this is the expiation. This is the way, like, I can finally, you know, download the songs out of my brain and into the ozone, because I have on the phone with me, all the way from California, Mr. Paul Tracy.
Well, good evening to you, Dave.
Yeah, that was a rather bizarre intro. Sorry about that, but very, very happy to have you with us in the neighborhood, Paul.
Thank you.
So that was the Patchwork Family, which I guess goes back to the early 1970s.
Probably right, because I moved out to California in 76, so it was just, yeah, and I'd only moved into New York after our show closed on Broadway. That was in 68. So I was only there for a period of 7 years. It must be in the early 70s.
So actually, since we're already bringing that back, why don't we even trace it back a little bit? Unfortunately, it was a little before my time when Paul was on Broadway in a South African-based show called Wait a Minim. Why don't you explain how that came about and what that was?
Well, that's a wonderful story because I was a chicken farmer. And my brother was working with my dad in African music. That was our sort of family business, the study of African music. And a producer came to the two of us. We were just singing folk songs as the Tracy Brothers on occasional things. And the producer came to us and said, do you think you could put on a show? Because he had a lease of a theater which desperately needed to be filled. And, we said, no, I don't think we can. But he encouraged us to go to the theater one night and sing our entire repertoire of folk songs. We had a big collection of folk songs because my brother had been the chair of the Folk Song Society at Oxford.
Oh.
And they collected all sorts of international folk music. And so we sang all our songs. And during some of our more serious numbers, the producer and his friend started giggling.
Oh.
And we thought, what on earth is going on? It turned out that it became the format for this show, which was to take national groups and present them through their folk music and their dance and make fun of them because of their national characteristics. This was so politically incorrect, it was almost impossible to do today.
Yes, so for example, what would you do in the show?
Well, for example, the Germans, you would sing a song like, oh, du wunderschöne Deutsche, very sort of cheery beer song, and then suddenly the three guitar players in the show would suddenly stop playing, turn their guitars into machine guns, and riddle the audience with bullets. And then
God!
Go on. Just joking.
Stuff. You really did that on the... My God, what did you do for the other nationalities?
Oh, well, the Japanese. Look, I don't think it's any secret that the Japanese are wonderfully polite, but incredibly cruel. So the combination was just dying to be mocked. And so we had a scene where we had a man singing the Japanese folk song, and he's been served tea, which is a very formal sort of thing, and he drinks the first cup of tea, and then he goes on singing, and then the woman offers him a second cup of tea. He doesn't really want it, you can see in his face.
Right.
But he accepts, and then she offers him another cup of tea, and finally, he's had it, and he takes the tea pot and he stuffs it down her throat. stupid stuff like that, but very funny. No spoken words.
Really?
Except when we got to the South African political scene, because this all started in Johannesburg. And
well,
days of apartheid. And funnily enough, you could say anything you liked in theater, because they knew that very few people went to the theater. If you had radio or television, then you were censored. But we got away with saying almost anything in theater.
So
when we took the show overseas,
yeah,
we said anything that we had not said on stage in South Africa.
Well, how did you do, or how did you deal with the South African political situation in Wait a Minim when you were doing it on stage? What was the bit or the sequence?
Dave, are you getting a big sound? Is it my phone or yours?
Sounds like your phone, although I guess you're having a little trouble hearing me.
Well, no, I wonder if I can just jiggle this thing briefly. If I lose you, will you...
I hope it's the phone you're talking about.
Hello, this is Paul Tracy, a wandering minstrel from California. We're on Dave's Gone By on WGBB. Let's carry on.
So, the question was...
Yes, how are we doing political... How did we do the political stuff?
Yeah.
What happened was that the government sent a couple of agents to watch our show and figure out if it was culturally worthy. And apparently it was.
Hmm.
We couldn't really believe that they didn't get the jokes about the government. But that's the way it works. And
no, but I'm curious.
Like you, they charge you a terrible tax, which basically puts you out of business.
Oh, interesting. But then, I'm actually curious what the jokes were or how you... In other words, you said how you portrayed the Germans and the Japanese. How did you portray the South African government, literally, on stage? What did you do?
We had to, like, the news, for example, and here comes the news. And I would be reading the news, and I would lean severely to one side because our news was always slanted.
little stuff, cute stuff like that.
You know. Very visual.
Yeah.
And humor, yes. It was a marvelous, it was a wonderful show for us because we created it ourselves. The four of us in particular were the creators.
Right.
We had my brother and myself who played a lot of different instruments.
Is your brother still alive, by the way? Is your brother still around?
Yeah, yes, but he's in Africa.
Oh, wonderful. Cool.
He went back to working with my father. I actually took over the running of the library. That's the International Library of African Music. Because my dad created that 53 years ago now. And then my brother took over about 30 years ago and actually moved it from close to Johannesburg, where mm-hmm. my dad had it. And he moved in with Rhodes University, which was a smart move because my dad wasted many years of his life just trying to raise funds to keep the library going.
Didn't he also have a radio station of some sort?
At Rhodes?
Or your father had a radio station.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. Yes, he ran the studios in Durban, the South African Broadcasting Corporation. And that was his position, from before the war, I'm talking about the early 30s,
mm-hmm.
Right through the war, up till 47, when he quit and went into African music full time.
Wow.
And he actually signed up to be, you know, on the in the war on the Allied side. With the South Africans were somewhat suspect about the war, but he signed up for the Allies, and they said no.
Way, he signed up in 1946, which was a little, you know,
no.
Hedged his bets a little bit, didn't he?
No, signed up before the war.
All right.
39, and that's before a little joke about Americans there. Of course, it was 1939 when the war started.
Oh yeah, that's
right. And. Anyway, he was told, no, your job is to look after the radio waves, because this was long before other sophisticated ways of sending messages, and there were submarines off the coast, and so he had to listen to everybody who was on his radio, making sure they were not sending messages to the submarines off the coast, and he, in fact, did catch one man who, for 2 weeks in a row, used the same text for his sermon. And my father realized that was... That was very suspicious.
It was code?
It was code, yes. Well, yes, it's very easy sort of code, you know, chapter so-and-so, verse so-and-so, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Ooh.
You get all sorts of clues.
And so, were they able to find it, or they just shut down the broadcast? I mean,
You know, I was very young, and I don't remember how the story ended.
Oh.
But we didn't see much of the war. We saw a lot of the troops came around there. They had R&R in Durban, where I was living.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one airplane that came across in the middle of the war. We all dove into our dugout shelters. But that was about it. And I stayed there and left in 47 because my parents split up and had my education in England.
And where did you go? Were you Rhodes or Oxford, or where did you go?
No, I went to normal sort of schooling up until 18. And after that, I went to what they call the University of the Bush.
Oh,
which means,
so you met some women. No, I don't know what that means.
The University of the Bush. That means I taught myself everything that I find useful today when I went back to live on the farm with my dad in Africa.
Oh.
That's when I started doing radio work myself. My father encouraged me to get some of my folk songs together and have my own little program on radio. Then at one stage I had my own 15 minutes a week for children.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
Write the script every week. I love doing it. It's called The Nutcrackers.
And children has kind of carried through your career on some level, because you were doing some folk music for adults and some cultural folk music and writing your own songs. But I think over the past bunch of years, you've concentrated more on children. Am I right about that?
You are right. I never wrote songs until my daughter was born, and that's about 37 years ago now. I have a trouble with being English in that one doesn't talk about oneself in England.
Hmm.
But I find that when I do shows in America, you cannot be personal enough. They want to hear every detail about your life.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But then I go back to England or to South Africa, and the reviews say, it's rather personal.
Hmm.
Anyway, so It was when my daughter was born that finally I just had to let out some emotions and just...
Yeah, because you wrote a couple of songs about your daughter, about your wife. There's a very nice song about... it's sort of a blessing and a prayer for your car, where you're...
Oh,
you're
yes.
No, I mean, it's silly, but it's nice. It seems like it's going to be this Western-y kind of song about a horse, And then you realize, no, it's about a car. He's talking about a red Mustang. And
that's
then you
right.
realize,
that
oh, wait a minute.
My wife's favorite, I mean, she was passionate about this car. It was a turbocharged, and she just loved it. And I realized that if I was going to get through to her, I would have to go through the car. So I
or at least through the back seat.
When she
no,
was
but...
away one weekend down in San Diego, and I just imagined that she was driving along down the coast of California, down to San Diego, past some of those snow-topped mountains on the inland side, and I was just encouraging the car to look after her and to drive her carefully, and would the car make her coffee like I do and tell her stories at night? I mean, I was just really chastising the car and making sure that she got home safely.
I mean, it's a lovely way to approach a love song, because it's obviously more about your wife and kid than it is about the car.
Well,
although maybe for you, the way you talk about the car, maybe it's also about the car.
Well, I mean, yeah, but unfortunately, the Mustang people never picked it up and never paid me a fortune. But there you go.
Oh, well, at least you're making enough money to buy a red Mustang.
Ah, maybe one day.
Your sunroof wide open, your radio loud, carrying all that I live for still further away with your turbocharged power so proud. Where are you now, brilliant red Mustang? You are responsible when I'm not there. So carry your precious load over that endless road. Carry my love in her seatbelt with care. Where are you now, brilliant red Mustang? Conquering mountains all silenced by snow, or racing the desert? Saguaros stand watching blue clouds of exhaust in your dust as you go. Oh, where are you now, brilliant red Mustang, chasing white seagulls along by the shore? Check all your tires, check your oil, check your brakes, and take care of my love. Once smile, make her coffee in the morning, mile after mile. Will you hold her hand like I do, crossing rivers and streams? Will you take her to the movies and share all her dreams? Where are you now, brilliant red Mustang, your sunroof wide open, your radio loud, carrying all that I live for still further away with your turbocharged power so proud? Where are you now, brilliant red Mustang? Faster, go faster, I want you to be back here today, back in my driveway, so hurry her.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. We're talking with Paul Tracy, who is described from a place called the Tacoma Review. They said, Paul Tracy, folklorist, is an incredibly charming and talented pantomimist, guitarist, storyteller, composer, writer, and singer. All this may sound a bit much, but it only hits the high spots. And we're certainly finding that out today.
And it just shows you you can't believe everything you see in writing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's from the Internet. So it probably means nothing at all. But you sound a little bit talented, so I might as well keep talking to you. Yeah, I got some time to kill. Now, in between here, while we were listening to your song, you were getting out a musical instrument. And it's funny, because even without provocation or without my prompting you, my next question to Paul Tracy is going to be, please explain, I never remember this, and I probably won't remember this after tonight, but what is the difference between a marimba and a kalimba?
Perhaps what you're saying, instead of marimba, which is a xylophone, perhaps you could be saying mbira, which is M-B-I-R-A. And mbira is the African word for the type of instrument which my father adapted into a kalimba.
Oh.
Now, the mbira is the generic term that all the musicologists have chosen for this family of instruments in Africa. And the kalimba is just an easier way of saying it. When my father developed this instrument, he decided he'd better have a name that people can say. And mbira is pretty tough.
Well, it's got like apostrophe in there. That's always annoying.
Right. Yeah. You have to agree first. Mbira.
Mm-hmm.
So he used kalimba. And kalimba is actually a nice word because the ka means little and the limba means music. Kalimba, music.
Cute.
And it's just a little box with stainless steel. Spring steel notes attached to the front. The particular model I have in my hands is called the treble, and it has 17 notes. It's a very sweet thing.
Oh.
Very simple to play with two thumbs.
Wow, we have treble right here in River City. That's wonderful. That's
all right.
I'm sorry about that. I apologize instantly for that joke.
We like musical jokes.
So that is a mbira that was turned into a kalimba by your dad.
Yes, he made it look sort of more Western, but he spent his life studying African music, and this was his attempt originally. Not to be a big money-making thing, well, a small money-making thing, to keep money coming in so he could keep researching African music. It became such a charming thing that now it's sort of worldwide, and people have stolen his idea, because he could never patent it very well, because it's basically a folk instrument. But his main contribution towards the instrument is in the redesign of the keyboard, because if you try to play a scale on a piano with two thumbs, you get tied up right away.
Right.
On this one, it's... the scale starts on the left, moves to the right thumb, to the left, the right, left, right, left, right. And that means, with just two thumbs, you can play a pretty rapid scale. That, of course, Dave, is if you're all thumbs.
Thank you.
At least I found someone who recognizes the joke when one comes up.
Now, what would you say your contribution to musicology and musical instruments has been over the past couple of decades?
Well, minimal, but what I do, one of my shows I do for kids in schools is on Africa and the culture of Africa, and, you know, we hear enough bad news about Africa in the newspaper all the time. So my job is to talk about the good stuff that comes out of Africa, and there's so much good stuff that my dad found. I mean, he found it worthwhile making a study his whole life of African music and African culture. And so I'm presenting some of my dad's recordings of African music. I'm playing some of the instruments, demonstrating them. I'm telling one of the stories that my dad collected in Zimbabwe, great African stories. The same stories, actually, that came across with the slaves and turned into Brer Rabbit. But on the way over, unfortunately, all those slaves lost their original languages. They were forced to learn English. And language and music are so closely associated that they lost all the stories. And they just lost the music in the stories.
Right.
And Brer Rabbit... doesn't have little songs in it, which all the African stories do, practically all of them. Some of the stories you maybe you know they're coming slightly back into style. They were out of fashion for a while.
Is there a short one?
There was one about the tar baby.
Well, you hear a word like that in America, and you'll automatically bristle, even though it's not supposed to, you know. It just,
right. I mean, you've got to be so careful to be politically correct. But the tar baby in Africa, is instead of getting stuck in this tar, they use bird lime. And that's the stuff that you put on a branch, and a bird gets stuck in it.
Oh. Why would you do that?
If you want to eat the bird, you have to catch it.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point.
And protein starvation in Africa, you know, people need meat very badly.
So they would throw lime up onto the branches, and then the birds would get stuck, and they'd go up and pull the birds off and eat them.
Exactly right. Now, I've been having trouble in my backyard with squirrels.
Yeah?
They've been eating everything in my backyard here in California. And I've had all sorts of advice how to deal with them. My brother was the one who reminded me about bird lime, but I don't know of anyone who actually sells bird lime in California, so... And I don't think I want to argue with
an angry
squirrel stuck in bird lime.
Yeah, what would you do once you got them up there? And it's like, okay, there's a squirrel, he's stuck. It'd be horrible. You just wait for them to be dead so you can pluck them off.
No, it would be absolutely hopeless.
Look out your window every morning, and it's like, oh, the squirrels are dying today. I think this one has one more day. That one's dropping off.
Terrible.
What an image.
And they're so cute, the squirrels, but the damage they do, because I like to grow gourds
in
my garden here. People are amazed that I can grow gourds. They also have no idea that I can grow loofahs.
Really? I thought those were, like, underwater, because they're sponges.
Yeah, everyone does, because somebody stupidly named them loofah sponges. And so sponges grow in the ocean.
Right.
The loofahs grow, they look rather like cucumbers, and they grow on vines in the back garden.
Just like the gourds do.
Yeah,
but if the squirrels get at them, basically you're out of your gourds. So
exactly. Now, for 10 years, the squirrels had no idea that there were seeds inside the gourds. Then someone figured it out. One of those squirrels figured it out, and ever since then, I've hadn't had another gourd. They eat them before I can get them.
Oh my!
So that's why I have my favorite enemy today is the backyard squirrel.
Oh Lord. We're talking, by the way, with Paul Tracy about all sorts of things, as you can see. We're having a wonderful time. I wish we had a little more time. But I want to get back to a couple of things. First of all, the fact that you were on that TV show from my childhood. How did you get involved in CBS TV's The Patchwork Family?
I think maybe it started a little earlier when I was on out here we call it Channel 28. It's a public station in New York. And I was part of a little acting group that were acting out folk stories.
Oh.
And one day, the producers knew that we had folk songs. He said, do you have a song for our theme this week, which is wishing? And I said, oh, yeah, I've got this great song. It's, I wish I had the shepherd's lamb, the shepherd's lamb, the shepherd's lamb. I wish I had the shepherd's lamb and Katie from her father. And his, you know, nice old Irish tune.
Yeah.
He said to me, no, I don't like it. Write another one. And I said, well, hang on a second, that was a folk song. I didn't write that. He said, it's okay, write another one. So I went home, and I wrote a wishing song, and came back the next day and sang it to him, and he liked it. I wish I had a coat of silk the color of the sky. And it was a song that later Jim Henson picked up and put on The Muppet Show. And that was really nice, because the Muppets in those days were playing to... 130 countries, I think.
Right.
And so even today, I still get 5 cents from Nigeria once in a while.
You know, so do I, and there, no particular reason. No.
Royalties. I mean, there's nothing. Royalties, you know, because you feel like a king, that's why you get royalties.
Very nice.
There is a free lunch.
But I remember that the reason I most remember you, aside from demonstrating the instruments, was there was a song that you sang and played of your own composition on the show called Something's Missing. That I thought was so clever. I think it was about 8 years old. And yet the melody stuck with me, and just the whole idea of it.
I got the idea from
world. Yeah?
Who sent me this name, Something's Missing. And in fact, it was the name of a racehorse in England.
Oh.
And she said, I found this name. It sounds like a title for a song for Paul. So she sent me the title, and I wrote the song that went with it. And then she wrote to me later and said, Something's Missing. It never wins. But it's done me very well, I must say. That's one of the songs I do keep singing.
Yeah, it's a very winning song, actually. We're going to play it to go out here with Paul Tracy. But I got one more question for you, and I guess I've got to kind of go to, I want to say something slightly negative, because it was a positive thing, but I assume you were in California when finally there was regime change in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
Were you, I mean, what were your feelings about that? Were you in contact with your family, making sure there were no riots and stuff? I mean, did you have mixed feelings, or how was it at that time?
Actually, it was quite brilliant. The fact that they could change power in the government without major bloodshed was really a major triumph. And I give an incredible amount of credit to Mandela, who was, you know, just a world-class statesman. I wish we had more around like him today. I mean, even the current, you know, people in South Africa are simply not up to what he was. I mean, I admire him tremendously for having achieved that.
How often do you go back?
Not too often. My brother and I tend to meet in Europe because it's halfway for both of us.
Right, okay.
In California, it's the best part of 24 hours to fly there, and it's a killer on the body and the jet lag and everything.
Wow. Well, but I'm certainly glad that you're in the States, and certainly if you're ever on the Northeast, you are welcome to come and visit the neighborhood with any instrument you bring. Well, you know, except your organ, but that's something else.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with the wonderful and delightful Paul Tracy. Thank you so much.
Pleasure, Dave.
I've got 2 wheels on my tricycle and 4 toes on each foot. I've got 6 days in my week, and up with this I will not put. I'm a bath without a plug, and I'm a handle with no jug. I'm a kiss without a hug, unless you're near me. I've got 3 strings on my violin, and I'm an only twin. Something's missing, something's missing, something's... Now my cat has only got 8 lives, he chases 2 blind mice. On my birthday, when I get 3 cheers, they only cheer me twice. I'm an oil well with no oil, and I'm a plant that has no soil. I'm a kettle that won't boil unless you're near me. 2 and 2 make 3 when I add. You're an orphan, says my dad. Something's missing, something's missing, something's... I've got 6 notes in my octave, and my trio has 2 men. When I go and buy a dozen eggs, they only give me 10. I'm a pub that has no drinks, and I'm a chain that's lost its links. I'm an eye that has no winks, unless you're near me. I am toothpaste with no teeth, and I'm a coffin with no wreath. Something's missing, something's missing, something's... Ding. But whenever you come close to me, my life is all complete. For no longer do I have 4 toes, no longer 2 left feet. I'm a playground full of swings, and I'm an eagle with his wings. I'm a nightingale that sings because you're near me. Now, my love, I beg you stay, 'cause when you stay, then I can say, nothing's missing, nothing's missing, nothing's missing.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway for more than 65 years now. Rather amazing and still going very, very strong. Bringing you Inside Broadway on this edition of Dave's Gone By on this March 2nd, 2008. Starting with not so good news, a show that I liked a whole bunch called Is He Dead? Which is, wait, let me get your mic up, Jeff, yeah?
Soon to be dead.
Yeah, it's dying, unfortunately. This is a play that was written, well, 100-something years ago by Mark Twain that was excavated.
Otherwise known as Samuel Clemens.
Yeah, and he, I don't know if it was ever performed. It was just like a desk play. He was going through a very, very hard time in his life. I think he had a death in the family or depression or something like that. And he wrote this, and it was kind of a pick-me-up. It was out of the blue, a wild, kooky, funny farce. Nobody did it. Now they found it. like some researchers at a college, they gave it to David Ives, the guy who wrote All in the Timing and that New Jerusalem that they're trying to bring to Broadway. And he adapted it, he rewrote it, and it's really, really funny, and nobody's going to see it. So it's closing on March 9th.
The press agent wouldn't let anyone in.
Well, yeah, go give him hell, Jeff.
Well, I keep trying to call about this show, and they call back later. Meanwhile, they're selling out to 35% audiences.
Right.
And then they announced last week, they said, can I please cover it at least? Oh, no, they're not interested now that it's closing. It's
such like, such a joke. I mean, if they want press, if they want people on the air being able to talk and comment about these things, ridiculous. But anyway, it is going to close. You know why? Because it is, as we intimated last week, a show that I thought was going to another theater is actually going in there real quick. Patrick Stewart's going to be playing Macbeth.
Oh, that's right.
And it's this modern, weird, kind of scary version that is still at Brooklyn Academy of Music. Got some great reviews. So they're going to bring it to Broadway for a limited run of 8 weeks at that theater. So,
and maybe Is He Dead will revive after
that. No, I think it's booked for something else after.
Yeah, wouldn't that have been nice, though, if they took that show and said, okay, we'll hold off on it, if you could go on a little hiatus with the shows. They're doing that with Forbidden Broadway.
What's that? They're
well, Forbidden Broadway, the was it spring?
Rude Awakening. Yeah.
Is closed temporarily. It's going on tour. It's like down in Florida and stuff like that. And it'll come back.
Yeah, they've done that once before. It's a cool idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, they take the cast, they go, and then I guess they go in the months when the traffic might not be so big for them, and then
right.
they come back
in
the fall.
And they tour it around the country.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of shows that are doing okay, there's a series of one-act plays called Almost an Evening that's directed by Ethan Coen. He's one of the Coen brothers who did those movies like Fargo and Big Lebowski and the Best Picture winner this year, which is...
No Country for Old Men.
So he directed these plays of his. It's moving to the Bleecker Street Theater for a run through June 1st. Now, it featured F. Murray Abraham, Mark Lynn Baker. They're going to move with the show.
Oh, excellent.
Elizabeth Marvel is not. She's, I guess, too busy or doing something else.
She's marvelous.
And, by the way, Sunday in the Park with George, which we will talk about hopefully next week, or if not, then the week after, that has extended to June 1st. So that's
That's good news.
Yeah, yeah. Also, the...
And also, didn't another show extend?
What extended? Yeah. Yes, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. This is the show has not even opened yet. Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, the all-black version, opens March 6th, and they've extended it now to at least
people,
July.
Well, black people now know that liquor is not good.
I don't get it.
Isn't it all about being an alcoholic and a lot of that?
Actually, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof is... Now, you're thinking of Come Back Little Sheba.
No.
No, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, which is also a half-black cast, but this is all black. It's James Earl Jones,
yes,
Felicia Rashad.
But Brick becomes an alcoholic?
Well, he uses alcohol because he's right. basically gay and he doesn't want to admit it to his wife, right. you know, and his lover, that kind of thing. Anyway, Terrence Howard, one of the reasons it was going to be a limited run was that Terrence Howard had a movie contract that he couldn't get out of. So they found a replacement for him when he goes away for a little bit, named Boris Kojoe. Do you know this person? He's a model of some kind?
Oh, I didn't know. I just heard on the radio.
Yeah. So that's how they're able to extend now the run of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof until July, at least, on Broadway. And it's opening this week on March 6th. And let's see. The Musicals and Mufti Concert Series, which is basically they take... musicals, and they do them in a very dressed-down, staged reading kind of
way.
They
do it in a Mufti way.
Well, whatever that actually means, that's what it means.
It's bare-bones musicals.
What does Mufti actually stand for?
It's bare-bones music.
Well, okay, is that the word Mufti, what it means? Or
a musical uninterrupted for today's interruptions.
I don't even know. Okay. Anyway, they're going to be honoring Larry Grossman, who is... Okay, kind of a second-level kind of a guy. These are the musicals that he was involved with.
Mrs. Grossman doesn't think so.
Oh, right. He's wrote the songs for Minnie's Boys, Good Time Charlie, that was the Joel Grey musical, Grind, which was an immediate flop, but might have good stuff in it.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. And So they're going to be doing those. They're going to bring those back just for a weekend to do them in Mufti style, as well as a brand new review of Larry Grossman's songs with him on stage at the piano. And let's see, they're gonna, the Grind is going to have a revised book, so hopefully they'll work out whatever the problems were with that show while they're doing it. And finally, here's to the ladies who sing Sondheim, April 7th at the Schoenfeld Theater on Broadway. It's the 35th anniversary benefit for the acting company. So among the people performing will be Angela Lansbury, Laura Benanti, Jenna Russell, who's now in Sunday in the Park, Deborah Monk from Curtains, Patti LuPone.
I'm hoping Elaine Stritch.
No, they don't mention her.
Stritchy isn't going to be there.
And speaking of Sunday in the Park, John Doyle will be directing this benefit. Tickets range from $100 to $250, which for a benefit is not bad. I used to think, it was who pays $100 for a night of a benefit? Now it's cheaper than a Broadway ticket. And that's what's staggering to me. But anyway, it's 11:58 p.m., ladies and gentlemen. I want to come back and talk about some letters that we got to this show over the past week, plus to close the show with Dave Goes Out. Got to do that after these fine messages. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider.
Hello, this is Paul Tracy. I'm known as the Wandering Minstrel. That's my life, just wandering around, entertaining. And tonight we're on Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Yes, we are, Paul Tracy. Wonderful, wonderful talking to him and playing his music on this episode of Dave's Gone By as Jeff sips his little beverage and Joe is going to help us with this next segment. Joe Salzone is with us. Okay, and, oh, by the way, it's midnight on WGBB Freeport. Had to do that little bit of legality there.
Oh, that was so good, Dave.
Thank you so much. Now, letters, we get letters, and very cool. One of the letters that we got was from the mother of a guest who was on this program. She was also on it briefly, too. She was part of the interview as well. When we talked to the singer-songwriter Issa, formerly known as...
full episode.
I know, formerly known as Jane Sibbery, and I sent them... CDs of the shows after they were put on CD, which, by the way, everybody can buy, care of davesgoneby.org. Every episode is on CD, only $10.
So if you have a burning desire to rehear one of these things.
That's right.
But I think for $10, you could probably invite Dave over for dinner, give him $10, and he'll just talk to you for
pretty much, oh yeah. I'm easy that way. So Joe is going to read the letter from, be dramatic about it. This is from Issa's mother.
I will do my best.
That's Issa Sr.?
Actually, her name isn't even Sibbery. That's a whole different family. Yeah. Don't use the last name. But
the mother's name is Shirley.
Shirley, yes.
Shirley writes, "Greetings, Dave. Many thanks for sending me copies of Issa's interview. I enjoyed talking to you. You were such a master at it. I forgot it was an interview and forgot to be nervous." In brackets, she writes, I thought she wrote waster instead of master.
That was for me. That was my notes there.
Okay. Those are my notes, you mean. So.
Yeah, okay.
"She told me she was interested," Shirley continues, "in meeting you in person later. Really appreciate your trouble to send them. Sincerely, Shirley."
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you so much, Shirley. And yeah, and certainly Issa has an open invitation to stop by the neighborhood and visit and play some music for us.
Stop calling me Shirley.
Now, our second letter came from...
Mae Pearson.
Oh, no, this is a criticism. Let me set this one up. She had obviously been in touch with Paul Tracy, our guest today, and Paul had sent her the promo that we send out about the show. There's an email that we send to listeners and people who just don't even care, but they get the email anyway.
Yes, you send them to all five of my email accounts, and I read them
each time. Thank you. So, you know, there was nothing terribly whatever about my emails. It just tells you who's going to be on the show. Well, someone was.
Right. Faye from England writes, "Dear Dave, I was so sorry to see that you suggested that Paul Tracy had so plummeted. What a tackle's way to put it. You were bound to have him hurt dreadfully. It was just the way you said it. How would you like that to be said of you?"
Say about me all the time.
What did you say, Faye?
"Please consider how you make amends for his feelings." Faye Pearson, Portsmouth, England.
Well, watch the last names. But yeah, Faye. Faye from Portsmouth, England. Well, first of all, I wrote back to her, and I said...
Hey, what did you say in the thing?
In the email, one of the things that we do in the emails a lot is that we give the credits of the person so people know who our guest is going to be. And then we say, and now, you know, after they've done all this, now they're appearing on my show, so obviously they need a new agent. You know, so it makes them sound like they've come down hugely in the world. She got the joke, but she didn't like the joke. She felt it was denigrating him.
I think what Faye is trying to tell you is that you are just such a bigger star than even you think he is, that it is just a privilege to be in the neighborhood.
Well, she's so right. I may have to change the tone of that. I may have to think of a new way of being funny about guests without making the show look...
You could try being funny.
Oh, my God. There goes Joe's mic. Oh, no.
So much for your ombudsman.
Right. What the hell is an ombudsman, anyway?
In government, an ombudsman is someone who represents the people to the government.
Oh.
In the context of a show, I basically just critique you.
Okay, that's true.
Representing the people, I'm sure.
I represent your audience, both of them.
Oh, that's frightening. Okay. My audience is in this room right now. All right, now we got one more letter. It's a long one. We may pluck and skim, but this is from... This was a happy letter. This wasn't about Dave's Gone By. This is about the big time that we do earlier in the evening, where I play music and talk and just take phone calls, whatever.
Right.
And last week I played...
Freeform.
Which is the kind of radio I love. Right. Yeah. So are the gospel people here yet?
No.
Okay, so read this very slowly.
They heard the last hour. Tom writes, Dave, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your effort and concern. Your programming was really good. It's such a relief from so much of the worthless mainstream radio. Obviously, you have a real love for music with substance, and music is a big part of your happiness. You're very fortunate. Music will help you through life in addition to all the happiness it gives. The particularly little song I asked you about made me smile and feel good for a few moments. How good can it get? Unfortunately, I'm up here on the North Shore, and I can't normally get your station, but when I make my frequent trips down to Baldwin, I'll be tuning you in. I think the last time I tried to find you from a radio show host... I think the last time I tried to find out from a radio host, quote, what that was because it just blew me away, end quote, was what I found out to be a Lou Reed doing My Guardian Angel from the Black Raven album. Oh, yeah.
Actually, it's called The Raven, but yeah. I think, well, he was wrong about the name of the
then
title.
Then it should be The Black, bracket, S-I-C, and bracket,
yes.
Raven.
Yes, he's also going to mistitle a Tom Waits album in a couple of lines. But okay, keep going.
Oh, yeah, that's how I...
You tell the future.
...discovered Tom Waits is a Jewish thing. Years ago, I heard this piece called Mule Skin Variations, and I had to know who that was! Exclamation.
Actually, it's Mule Sick Skin, or Mule Skin Sick Variation, because there's no skin. Anyway, yeah, okay.
I was lucky when I was
young. Dave, you're a fan. Don't criticize
no,
him.
I know. I'm terrible that way. Yeah.
I did college in the Army during the 60s, and music was everything in those days.
I didn't even do college in the Army in the 70s.
So while they were happening, and before they became stars and legends, I got to see a lot of artists in concert and
this
small,
is way cool.
Intimate and affordable settings. This was before big rock concerts and stadiums. I used to go to a place called the Electric Factory in Philadelphia. I've actually heard of that place. And saw the Velvet Underground several times. A group called the Blues Project first opened me up. Things like this were at the very beginning when music was just changing. There was only doo-wop and folk music was the only real alternative. I added the word real. That's my editorial slang.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Thank you, Ombudsman.
S-I-C in brackets.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Then I got to see...
Ombudsman in brackets, yes.
Then I got to see Dylan several times, Bob Dylan, small auditoriums, Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix in concert, too. It was a lot of great music, and I was very fortunate to have experienced some of these people live in concert before anyone even knew who they were. Tracy Chapman's Matters of the Heart just grabbed me, and I had to find out. So I really thank you for your consideration in responding. It meant a lot to me. Thanks again, Tom.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thanks for writing in. And that's why I play the music that I play. Well, sometimes I have to grab for a CD and get something on real quick. But when I plan it out, or sometimes when I choose the CDs to bring to the station, the idea is somebody's going to be listening who's not just tuning aimlessly on the dial or looking for the new Britney Spears hit. They want to hear something that may be part of their lives for the rest of their lives, a song that could just change them or hit them somehow.
Welcome to the neighborhood where we care about your ears.
Well, you know, I do.
We
I
think of your mind as well as your ears.
Yeah.
And you know, if you out there in Radio Land, which is a sublet of the Twilight Zone,
yeah,
would like this ombudsman to stay here every week to critique Dave, to help Dave, really.
Yeah.
To represent the people, call in.
631-888-8811 is the phone number at the radio station.
Unless, of course, you'd like to discuss whether Dave is gay or not.
You can do that, too. Well, no, not in gospel time. 631-888-8811 is the phone number. Now, actually, Jeff, you don't have to shut up because we've covered a lot of stuff.
Now you've hurt my feelings.
Oh.
Good.
Well, tit for tat. There we go.
You never saw one.
No, I'm not. Oh, now. So, guys, what's
What? Oh, dear God.
Jeff is wearing a microphone cover on his ear. I don't know why.
It hasn't been washed since the Carter administration.
His ear or the microphone, both. Yes, I know.
Goes back to David Coolidge.
Well, you know what? Let's also just do our sponsors again, just so everybody knows.
Is that how they become sponsors? You do them?
Pretty much. The only way I imagine them. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners at Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway.
Says the Queen.
1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island.
They're next to Loman Shoes.
And across the street from the regular Lomans, right
says
on the South
Shore.
Where you get big bargains.
Anywho, now, MortgagesRock.com.
They just do.
Now, it's not just a place where you can get financing. It's where you can learn to be a mortgage broker and get, as if anybody's buying a house right now, but things
will
turn around.
It's a really good time to buy a house.
I got a call from the bank asking me if I wanted to refi, because,
it's a great time to refi, too.
I'm thinking about it, that I don't want to deal with the basic upfront costs and fees and all that, but...
Don't know, Tony.
If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it through MortgagesRock.com.
There you go.
Discount Funding Associates.
Because they also will show you a way where you can incorporate your fees right into your mortgage.
Over the course of the length of the mortgage?
Yes.
Hmm.
So you can do that at MortgagesRock.com. They will show you all sorts of... I've actually used them, and they will help you with everything.
Because my mortgage is... I mean, we had a decent deal. We were at 7 and change.
Your mortgage does not rock then, Dave.
No. It should be at 5 and change.
Two. Get a 2%.
You can't get a 2% mortgage anymore. Nobody's doing that. A no money down, no down payment mortgage. But anywho, did I get all these sponsors? No, I missed Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway.
It's
the
B-U-I-B-L-E of Broadway.
It's the B-I. Yeah. No, I don't know.
It's buy?
PerformingArtsInsider.com is the place to find out how you can get a discount annual subscription to Performing Arts Insider. 1 month, only $120. That's $45 off the regular price.
Have you seen anyone beat themselves up at the microphone before?
Jeff is a little punch drunk here. So, Jeff, do your thing.
Oh, please call Fancy Schmancy Balloons. We're good for all your party needs.
It doesn't sound
too
desperate.
A really happy party.
Well, you know...
You could have a happy, happy party.
And do people get a discount this week if they call in and mention Dave's Gone By?
No.
No discount? Well, wait till next week. Well, you might not be here next week, so...
That's okay. Next week you can give the discount.
Okay. I won't do more than like
25% discount.
Yeah, right. Free? No.
Okay. No one calls in.
But tell
Jeff
people,
will pay you if you call.
Tell people why they should use Fancy Schmancy Balloons for their parties.
Because I need the business and I'm lonely.
That's as good a reason as any. 516-797-3229. 797-3229.
Please call.
For Fancy Schmancy
Even
Balloons.
Even if you don't want to order balloons, just call anyway.
Now, reminding everybody also that Shalom, damn it, Rabbi Saul Solomon's show airs Wednesday mornings at 7:30 on
and
Woodbury Cable.
And don't forget
that
Dave's Gone By Live is also on Friday.
Friday mornings at 7:30 for a while longer. We'll
just
see how much
just a black screen with the words Dave's Gone By
on it and sound in
I
back.
Caught it recently.
I just didn't have
really?
The time and effort to put that into that one.
Yeah.
Well, but
it's really just the audio of the show, right?
Yeah, that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But
can't we, run cartoons or something over it?
Well, if they're copyrighted or something. If you want to draw some cartoons, you could.
Sure.
Okay, sure. You want to make the effort.
I'll tell you what. I'll film myself inflating balloons.
Oh, my God. I hope that's not a euphemism.
I can play I'm in the Mood for Love while you're doing it. You know, those big, long animal balloons.
We're not here until 6 o'clock.
No, but we could do Fancy Schmancy Balloons as Dave's Gone By goes on in the background. I'll show people.
Might be interesting.
I'll make an arch. I'll make a...
Well, there are two things I wanted to say also about Shalom Davit and Rabbi Saul
Just
Solomon.
Just two?
Just two. The first one is that, reminding everyone, as we said at the top of the show, that Shalom Davit's going to be on New York cable TV starting March 16th, Sunday afternoons at 1:30.
So you know that if you're listening to this on your radio, you don't live in New York.
Well, Sunday afternoons at 1:30 on Channel 67 on MNN. It's Manhattan Neighborhood Network.
So remember, on those beautiful spring afternoons, what you really want to do is sit inside and listen to
Shalom Well, you know, if you're heading to the theater, the 3 o'clock show, you watch Shalom Dammit. You know, it's a cool way to spend a half an hour, pretty funny, with Rabbi Saul Solomon. The other thing I wanted to tell you, thank you, about Rabbi Saul is that he will be on next week's episode of Dave's Gone By. He's going to be a special interviewing guest. He will be interviewing an actress who has gotten 4 Tony nominations, two Emmy nominations. Who is it, Jeff?
Tova Felson.
The one and only from Yentl, from Sarava, from the...
Bring me a tenor.
Lend me a tenor. She was Tony nominated for that.
That's right.
And she was also Emmy nominated for her role in the TV series Holocaust.
And also played Gold is Bounty.
Well, that was, yeah, she was amazing. That totally, you know, I always thought of her as this really cute, kind of young, and then she came back with that role. I was like, great show. Great one. It's the longest running one-woman show in Broadway history.
So we tell her Tova Tov.
Tova Tov. Well, she's going to be appearing, I forgot to mention this, I'll mention it now, at Feinstein's at Lowe's Regency starting next week. It's for the next 2 weeks. So she will be there from March 4th to March 15th.
I love March 4th because it's the only day that's actually a verb.
Oh, well, okay. Wait, oh, I get it. March 4th. Is that the only one? First, second, third, fourth. Now I got to think this one out. 8, 9, March.
Except for April.
Well, 8. Maybe something with 8. Jan 8. A lot. That could work. No? Uh-huh. No. April 8. April 8, a big meal.
But it'd be 8th.
Oh, it, all right, fine.
Because it really is March 4th.
Okay, the March 4th. Anyway, that's when Tova Felichu starts.
And it's also 3-4.
So what?
In 2005, it was 3-4-0-5.
Jeff gets into these numerical things. It's like, you know, this is why we were talking about therapy, or if you were listening 2 hours ago. Wow, 2 hours ago. Anyway, actually, I don't know why I'm trying to rush things. We should be killing time now, so... Yeah, please continue.
We're not going to stay until 6 o'clock, are we?
Look, we could.
I could.
Let's put on the gospel. Ooh,
we
know.
Okay.
Surprised James hasn't called in yet.
Well, let's not call him.
We can talk at least for until 12:30. I think that'd be fun. So anyway, but let me get through all the other things. So next week, Tova Felichu on this program, interviewed by Rabbi Saul Solomon. If you have any comments and opinions before this show gets really, really weird, write to davesgoneby@aol.com. D-A-V is in Victor, E-S, goneby@aol.com. And for more information about the show, go to davesgoneby.org. Yes, Jeff?
Oh, I didn't...
Oh, no, you were looking at me like you were just... We're going to say something.
I told you when I have something to say, I raise my hand.
Okay. Cool. Well, you know what? Let's get the thank yous out of the way as well. I want to thank my lovely and adorable and
congratulations.
No. My wife Joyce Weil.
Who's not pregnant.
Who's not?
Because Dave's not gay.
Right. Okay. I'm just letting that balloon sink slowly into the west. It's been this running joke that wasn't funny to begin, and now you're switching it to trying to be nicer, but it's still not funny. So
Didn't you chastise me for sucking up to Dave?
No.
Up? Oh, up.
Sucking up.
Okay.
Just sucking up.
Okay. Just checking.
And on that note, can we thank your parents for listening?
Well, my dad listens every week pretty much.
I love you.
He might be asleep by now, but he does. Dad, if you're awake and listening...
Give us a call.
It's 12:17 a.m., and we're here. So,
and it's 12:17 a.m., Mr. Lefkowitz. Get some sleep.
631-888-8811 is the phone number. 631-888-8811, or anybody who's
listening.
How about
the comic guy?
Comic book novice guy, if he still has us on his cell phone. I don't think he's going to be hearing us in upstate New York at the moment. Be nice. But
that's right. He only heard us because he was on the list.
So let's talk about... first of all, thank Joe Salzone for being here. Thank Jeff Goodman for being here. Thank you, Paul Tracy. All that.
Take
now,
it totally for granted.
This may be my dad. Maybe he'll want... Or who knows who this will be. WGBB, Dave's Gone By. You're on the air.
Yes, you said I should call in, so here I am.
Hold on, I have to put on my ears on.
Jeff is putting his ears on. Joe's packing up. Joe doesn't want to be part of this any longer.
Who is this your father?
Yes, my dad.
Hey, Dad, how you doing?
Fine, fine. Well, you're telling me to call in, so...
Yeah.
See, we were listening to you.
And he was listening to us. So how did you like Paul Tracy? How did you like Paul Tracy?
An excellent guest.
Yeah, wasn't he cool?
Delightful. Very nice man.
Yeah. So how was your week?
Very nice.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
That's my dad.
Oh. So you like me?
Now you know where I get it from.
No, I...
Now, you're a retired pharmacist, right?
No.
Okay.
Retired court clerk.
Oh, yeah. Really? What court did you work in?
The Appellate Division, First Department.
Was that in Hempstead?
No, that was in Manhattan.
Oh, Manhattan. What trials? Do you have any good trials?
No,
seriously.
We don't handle trials. What we handled were appeals.
Oh, any good appeals?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do?
We had a lot of good appeals, as a matter of fact.
During the Son of Sam?
No. We had the Beatles case.
What Beatles case?
The Apple litigation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You remember, I remember you telling me
the
one
apple
time you
that far from that tree.
You saw you know who sitting where in the court, or where was he?
Who was it, John Lennon?
Yeah. Dad?
Oh, yes. Yes. No, that wasn't in the courtroom, as a matter of fact. What had happened was this was when I was working at the law firm. I was making the rounds at night to find out if anybody was going to have work that evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened the, and they were representing one side in the litigation. And I opened the door, and lo and behold, there's John Lennon sitting there with one of the attorneys from the office.
Where was Yoko?
I don't know.
Well, what year is this roughly we're talking about?
Oh, well, let's see. It would probably be about 74, I guess.
Okay.
And it was a regular routine, you know, that I would do every day. I'd go around to all the offices and find out who was going to have work that night. So what I did was I just opened the door, I looked in, and the attorney shakes his head no, and I motioned that I got the answer.
Right.
And Lennon was cracking up because not a word was said.
Did you get an autograph?
It was not inappropriate. I wish I had.
Exactly. Exactly. It was inappropriate.
I would have said, can I have a picture with you? Let's get the White Album out. Let's go to Abbey Road.
Hey, do you remember... who was that financier who went bust? Big time money.
What'd he do?
I split a corned beef sandwich with him the night he lost his fortune.
Well, not the lottery guy that Jeff's always talking. Not Curtis. The
No. This is a very famous financier.
DeLorean? No.
No, but the thing is. When these people go belly up...
They have corned beef for sandwiches with you?
No, we had ordered in because they were working late. But when they go belly up, it's not like you or I, if God forbid we got into financial straits.
God forbid, yeah.
Right?
They just lose their third and fourth home.
A couple of days later, I'm walking in the street near the office, and here comes a chauffeur-driven limousine, and guess who's in the back?
This guy.
Yeah, him.
Right.
So they actually get limo drives to declare bankruptcy.
Well, back then, bankruptcy, I think, was just like something you did. Something didn't work out. You fudged a couple of numbers. Everybody else took the hit. And it just, you know, you walked away from it. I have a friend like that. His family went bankrupt. And... You wouldn't know it. I mean, it wasn't like they suddenly went on austerity, sold the house, or anything. It didn't affect them at all.
Well, but you know, with my background, going bankrupt or going broke was like a terrible disaster. And
well, you know what we now? We have a nickname for going bankrupt now. We call it Going David.
Going David?
Yeah.
It means having no money, yeah. Pretty much.
Oh, that's nice. That's good to hear. A father loves to hear that about his son.
Well, he's nice. He's poor. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's a pretty typical problem, yeah.
Can I ask you questions about David when he was younger?
I don't guarantee I'll answer it, but
I don't guarantee your mic is going to stay on. So, yeah. What's the question?
Was David strange as a child?
What?
David strange as a child?
Strange?
Did he ever exhibit, like, any abnormal behavior?
Constantly. Endlessly.
Did you ever think, like, David might be gay?
Oh, no.
No? Well, a lot of the listeners do.
He was delightful.
Well, there you go.
As a matter of fact...
Tell us... Come on, he's not listening now. Tell me a story about David when he was young, a funny story. Did he, like ever eat his poop or something like that?
No.
What's the silliest thing Dave ever did?
What would
be embarrassing to him?
Well, we used to put him in the crib at night. And then all of a sudden I would hear these loud noises, bangs. And I went to see what was making such a noise. And he would stand on the outside of the crib. Dave, I hope this is going to make you angry.
I was off mic there for a minute talking to Joe, but okay.
He said it's fine.
Okay.
He would stand outside on a chair and jump in, fortunately, not out, into the crib. Over the side.
How athletic.
Yeah.
He was like a high jumper.
I don't know where he got the idea.
I was preparing for bone jumping. Ooga! No, I don't know what that means.
Not bad.
No. It wasn't terrible.
Wait, let me just break in here because Joe's got to head out, so I want him to say hi to everybody and thank him so much.
Breaking news, Joe's leaving the studio.
And never to return.
No, just kidding.
Promise?
I haven't seen you in a long time.
He's saying, that mic isn't, he can't hear you, Dad.
Oh, well, give him my best.
My dad sends his best.
Thank you.
Especially, and we send your love to your dachshunds.
Thank you, Mr. Lefkowitz.
Well, you know, Dave had to tread very carefully because it was a question. We keep Dave or get a dog.
Oh.
So.
What kind of dog was it?
You know, if it had been a Dalmatian, they would have gone for the dog, but...
No, I you remember the story about we took you once for a dog and a smart lady.
Your parents mistook you for a dog?
They took me to adopt a dog when I was in my early teens.
Okay. Right. This woman had a litter of puppies for sale, or I don't know if she was giving them away, but whatever. Anyway, we had heard that this breed was non-allergic.
Who's allergic?
I'm sorry?
I was allergic to dogs and cats and all sorts. I was allergic to everything for many, many years.
Right.
Okay. How'd you overcome that?
We had been led to believe that this particular strain or breed was non-allergic.
Okay.
It was a schnauzer, actually.
Exactly. Uh-oh. Exactly. It was a schnauzer. We go to the house of the woman who had the...
House of Schnauzer?
The dog.
The Schnauzer house!
And she says, okay, I can let you have one, but I can't take it back if it doesn't work out. So I have to check first. And how did she check? I don't know if you remember this, Dave.
Well, I remember because you've told the story a few times.
She pulls down his pants and then...
she takes the dog, one of the dogs, and washes Dave's face with it. By that, I mean she rubbed it all over his face.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't take...
Did Dave enjoy that?
It didn't take 30 seconds. He was sneezing and coughing and... having a grand old reaction.
But what was it to?
Yeah, but you know what? In retrospect, that seems like a kind of a stupid test, in just the sense that if you were
Not
to
really.
If you were to rub my face in, like, Mom's hair,
Or you probably anything. Would have done the same
thing. In a pillow. You take anybody's face when they're not expecting it, and you put something up to it, and you rub it back and forth, they're going to start sneezing and tearing up.
We have a little test for you, young man. Schnauzer in your face.
Well...
That's it.
It occurs to me now.
You can write a new play, A Face Full of Schnauzer.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
No, I mean, it was a good idea. I think doing that was not a fair kind of a test.
Probably not. She wasn't being scientific or anything. Mm. But
no, she was just being cruel and miserable.
Have to take the dog back.
So you were going to get a Schnauzer from Cruella de Vil?
Well, she wanted to make sure that it wasn't we weren't going to give it back in a week because I was unable to breathe or was sneezing all the time. I didn't have asthma. I just have very bad allergies to everything.
And now you don't.
No. Allergies can hit you at any age, and they can leave at any age. They're very weird things. Now,
did Dave eat his vegetables when he was younger?
Oh, yeah.
Dave what?
What foods did Dave like and didn't like when he was really young?
Like or not like?
Did he like those beech nut strain carrots?
Oh, I liked them when I was in my 20s, actually. Those were yummy.
Well, I'll just tell you this.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the morning Brenda and I are in bed, fast asleep.
Oh, okay, sure, yeah.
Your father's not gay.
No, I know, alright, yeah, okay.
And
maybe you are.
And
you were snoring kind of funny because Mom's back was going up and down while you were snoring.
No.
I don't know what that
is. And I smell something. And uh-oh. I turn to Brenda, who's fast asleep. And I shake her and I say, are you cooking anything? And she looks at me. And I look at her. And all of a sudden, the two of us jump out of bed, go into the kitchen. And there's David at the stove. He's got a pan with rice, dry rice,
uh-huh.
And he's he's got the stove on.
Gas or electric?
Huh?
Gas or electric?
It
was gas. It must have been a gas stove.
Yeah, I guess it was. And open
flames and David
scared the hell out of us.
I wanted to make rice pudding, I think. I didn't realize that you actually had to do something to the rice rather than just putting
it
in a pan.
Yeah, I think he got it right.
Yeah.
He put rice.
And milk.
Dry rice. No, you didn't put any.
Oh, I was going to add the milk after the rice got heated up. I assume that's what you did. You took rice, you heated it, got it hot, and then you added milk, and that was rice pudding.
So, P.S., as a result
this
of that, as a result of that episode.
Yeah.
We wound up taking the knobs off the stove.
Well, was it like I'm chopping my hands off at the wrist?
Did you ever think he might be a Chinese baby and he was, like, making fried rice?
Could be.
You know what? I shouldn't have stopped him, huh?
There you go. He could have been a chef. He could have been the Iron Chef.
It did smell pretty good, as a matter of fact.
Yang can't dig it, really?
No. Oh, a little sweet.
Okay.
Dave can't cook. He didn't know about Bill Cosby then. Pudding.
Oh, how good, yeah.
Why, what did Bill Cosby do?
He invented Jell-O instant pudding.
Mm-hmm. He invented. He shilled for it, you know.
Oh.
And that's Jell-O and pudding thing, yes. Mm-hmm, pudding.
That's about the worst, Bill Cosby.
Oh, and you do Bill Cosby, then.
No, because I don't know how to do them.
Well, I'm doing the best I can here.
Pudding. That's like a deaf Bill Cosby.
That's
right?
It's like a retarded Bill Cosby.
You drink a brain damage.
We're not doing further here, a day of Bill Cosby.
Dangerous staying and pick the teeth did the thing with it. Okay, anyway.
Did Dave ever fail any classes in school? Did he ever come close? Did he need tutors?
No.
Well, no. Just only in 12th grade physics. That was the closest I came to failing. Should have failed, but he curved upward. It was the one subject I could not get.
Do you remember
get.
Your teacher's name?
Yeah, Mr. Mason.
You know, I didn't even know that.
Why don't you thank him now for passing you, because he curved you
I
upward.
Thank him if he passed. Literally.
Why? He gave you.
I had to take that class for a year.
He curved you up and passed you.
He curved everybody, but yeah, well, all right, you should have done. But I was just
saying,
well, it was either that or fail the whole class, I guess.
And then you have to do it for 2 years.
Yeah. I hated physics. I just hated that subject.
Well, thank Mr. Mayhew for passing
you. All right,
you
thank you, Mr. Mayhew, for passing me. Okay. Thank you.
And
for making physics so boring and awful. What?
I never had physics.
Well, that's where they stick it up your... Oh, no, that's a physics.
Oh, Lord.
I know where your mind is.
Well,
it's always there.
Yeah, well.
What do you want?
It is 12:39 a.m., ladies and gentlemen, on WGBB.
On this Monday morning.
Now you have a little more time to hang with us. We'll probably hang till about 1.
Because we'll sing a little gospel.
Okay.
Do you know any gospel tunes? Oh, that's frightening.
Let's play a gospel song just for fun.
All right, we'll all sing together. I'll go look for one. You talk
okay.
About that.
Okay, so are you thrilled with his choices of avocations now? Theater and radio stuff?
You know what? I think he probably picked up the bug from his old man because I was actually voted actor of my class, my graduating high school class from Utrecht.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I always felt that I wanted either to be on the air or acting in a movie or something. But it never came about. Instead, I took the safe path and, got a job.
And became a court clerk.
And wound up being a court clerk.
Okay. Now, is there a reason why Dave's an only child?
Yeah. I was only able to catch his mother once.
Isn't one enough?
But really, after you have David, does that really discourage you that much?
Oh, yeah.
And don't you want to... I still wonder why Dave doesn't have any kids. Don't you want to have grandchildren?
That's an awfully personal question.
Don't you, Jeff? Don't you want to have children?
Do you want to know something? I do and I don't. But I just don't think I'd be a great parent.
Okay.
God knows I wasn't a great father.
What the hell?
Oh, no, Dave tells me you're a great father.
Yeah, what?
Well, the thing is, when most fathers are home, taking care of the family and all. I was working nights.
Yeah, but, you know...
Yeah, but we had quality time.
Yeah, well, I try to make up for it on the weekends. If you remember, I used to take you to play ball.
Mm-hmm.
You really let the air out of my balloon one day. That was so funny. When, I forget how it came about.
Notice the fancy schmancy reference in there.
Oh, balloon, yes.
I was, I said something about I really miss those days when we used to go to play ball on Sunday and your mom slept late. And I said, we had such a good time. And what did you say?
This I don't remember.
We didn't do that.
I don't remember it being so much fun.
And this
out goes the air from my balloon.
Yeah. Now, did you ever take Dave to work with you? Did you ever have bring your son to work day?
I don't recall that.
Oh, sure you did.
Did I?
A couple of times. Oh, absolutely. When I was in my late whatevers and my early teens.
Late whatevers?
Well, you know, like
well, it's those of us in the early whatevers.
Old enough that I remember, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not just when I would come and visit you in my 20s and 30s, but I remember like once or twice when I was a kid. I remember spinning around in your chair and like being amazed at all the typewriters. And you just plunk me down in a typewriter, and I start typing.
And that's when he wants to...
You're dating yourself, Dave.
No, I'm not dating anybody. I'm married.
He did that for a while, too. And I heard he played with himself for that long.
Oh, now stop that. Just stop that now. It's my dad we're talking to here.
That's okay.
On Dave's Gone By at 12:46
We're on Dave's Dad's Gone By.
This is Dave's overtime time.
Do you notice that I'm the one who has to mention that he has to thank his parents every week?
Well, that's...
He'll thank his lovely wife, Joyce.
He's got other things on his mind.
But you always thank your parents.
Okay, I'll remember to thank my parents for now. I mean, I thank my wife because she often has ideas or helps me with the show. Dad actually critiques my show on Monday mornings. He's my my Monday morning quarterback.
Oh, so what did you think of the show today?
Well, he said already like Paul Tracy a whole bunch.
Uh-huh.
So that's
well, how about, how do you like my interaction with Dave? Do you ever want to
Oh, were you on the show too?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sometimes. Do you ever want to like punch me?
What?
Do you ever feel like punching me when I interrupt Dave a lot?
Well, you want an honest answer?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm all for honesty.
There are times when I think I would like to have a button where I could mute you.
Uh-huh. That's okay. Most people would like that one.
But Dad,
I realize that you're just funning.
Right.
Oh, God. If I didn't love him, do you think I would schlep him all the way back home? I have to drive from Massapequa to his house round trip at 2 in the morning. If that ain't love, that's nothing.
That's right. And he buys me flowers, and, you know, he kisses me afterwards. So it's good.
No, what? I don't even know what he's told
me.
I'm telling you.
I
really think your son might be gay.
I'm not. Stop that with that already. It's not true.
Oh, I know. Your father probably hates that.
Yeah, no more than my wife and my mother, certainly. But, Dad, it's great to talk to you.
Wait, he's going to sing a little gospel.
Oh, that's right. I've got a gospel song queued up.
What are we singing?
It's a song from the Canton Spirituals, which is a bunch of fine-looking large black men.
Oh, it's not Chinese? Canton?
No, I guess not. This is a song called Drug Me. I wonder if I have the... But yeah. It's a gospel thingy here. From the album Walking
Drug
by
me?
Faith. Sorry?
Drug me.
Like give me drugs. Because you know that's what black spiritualists want to be associated with.
Okay, well, we're playing that I'm Going to Get a Better song.
Well, here. And then let's hear Drug Me by the Canton somethings. Spiritualists.
You know, today, we have kids being born on drugs. A lot of people hooked on prescribed medicine.
That's what Dave's not having.
You know what? My mama drugged me when I was a little boy.
No.
Now, let me explain to you.
He's going to explain to us. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Mama drugged me to church.
Oh.
Mama drugged me to Sunday school.
Oh, man.
I wonder if he axed her to drug him there.
Put you on is the only thing that will see you through.
I'm waiting for a good verse.
You don't have to sniff it. And you know you don't have to shoot it in your vein.
Yeah.
Clap along, Dad. Get those claps going.
Mama drug me.
Well, I gotta hold the
Lord.
Mama drug me to Sunday school. She said,
Mama drug me by the hair.
I'll have you know.
Yeah.
You know where my mama drug me?
That when I was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
I was the only Jewish member of my particular squadron. So they made me the chapel guy for the Jewish troops.
Yeah.
Which meant that I had to march myself to the chapel every Friday night.
Yeah.
Okay. They needed a guide to take the new inductees who didn't know how to get to chapel to the chapel. So they asked if I'd be willing to take them, the Baptist boys, to the chapel.
So you drugged them?
And I said, sure. And I marched this little group of new inductees. And, of course, I waited for them, so I'm standing at the back of the church. And the Baptist minister is preaching fire and brimstone. And some of these young kids are sitting in their seats, and they're crying like crazy. And I never saw anything quite like it. Very, very effective, very emotional.
But it was an experience I've never forgotten.
And you drugged them.
You drugged them to
I
that
drugged
tent.
Them to church.
Yeah. Wow.
You know where my mama drugged me?
Where'd she drug you to?
Loman's! For some shoes!
That explains some things.
Well, that's across from Minuteman Press, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. The Happy Kings of Broadway. Where you get 10% off if you mention Dave's Gone By.
Wait, she drugged me to the mortgage, please.
Mama drugged me to Minuteman Press.
Yo. One Sunday morning. Actually, Minuteman Press is closed on Sunday, so it won't be on a Sunday.
Oh, because they didn't drug the church.
I was afraid to step in the water because I couldn't swim. And my old daddy got on one side.
And then he pushed me in.
So let me tell you, that's a very, very emotional thing to watch.
Anyway, this is Lillian Lilly. I'm going to let Dad pick the song from Lillian Lilly's Gotta Have Faith CD.
But they have the Gotta Have Faith song is on there like five times.
Is it? No, there's Always Hope is on there twice. There's also Have You Received the Whole... Oh, this is excellent. There's a misprint on the CD label.
Yeah.
Instead of Have You Received the Holy Ghost, it's Have You Received the Hoy Ghost.
Oh, they left out the L.
Yeah, either that or it's Spanish. Have you received today's ghost? It's the ghost of Hoy. Let's see. Chan six. Señor Jeff, ¿tú has recibido el hoy ghost? Sí. Aquí es el hoy ghost. Hoy ya.
Have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the
Holy Ghost?
Holy Ghost has a powerful effect.
I mean, you can imagine being in a church when this is going on.
Dying to go to a Southern Baptist church.
I love this, by the way.
I attended a service in a Baptist church.
Did you receive the Holy
Ghost? Very infective.
But, yeah, but if you don't believe, it's still just going to be like an experience.
But it's fun, and it's a good thing. Turn it up.
The Holy Ghost came like a mighty rushing wind.
Yeah.
I guess his wife must have been happy. I don't know what that means.
Hello?
This reminds me of, what was it, the Blues Brothers?
Well, yeah, that kind of...
No, this is like, what was
remember
the Goldberg movie?
They go to church?
Yes. Sister Act, also. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, we have the anointing. I like her. Who is this?
This is Lillian Lilly.
I love her. I knew when the name was the same place.
Gotta Have Faith from Malico Records.
Love it.
Oh, she's singing with the Anderson Sanctuary Choir. Sanctuary, sanctuary. Yes, we have LIPA. We receive the power as long as I pay my bills.
And a little bit of gas. I got the power.
I think they need
the power.
Yeah. Who's got the power? Do you have the power?
Got the power.
You got the power?
Got the power and a little bit of gas.
You have a little bit of gas. That's a problem. Okay, cool. See, that's the thing. I can listen to one of those, and it's cool, and it gets me jumping. If I listen to three of those songs,
I
want to
hear the first cut of that, though.
You want to hear Gotta Have Faith?
Yeah.
The title track. Gotta Have Faith from Lillian Lilly.
I like
Lillian
Lilly.
Okay, pull this back. Here comes more Lillian Lilly for you.
An encore of Lillian Lilly.
That beat?
Let's
do it.
Hey, Lillian.
It evokes an image of the Blues Brothers. Remember the scene where they're dancing in the church?
Yeah, that was towards it was Aretha Franklin was the preacherette or whatever they call her. That was her scene, right?
No, actually, it was
Shirley Caesar, maybe.
No. It was who's that male singer? The one who went to jail.
Oh, Little Richard.
No.
No. No.
Oh, the one who married the teenagers?
Jerry Lee Lewis?
No. Oh. No, no, no. Black.
Black went to jail? I don't see that happening.
Wait, who is... A rock and roll singer. James Brown!
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the hardest working man in show business.
And I'm show business, yeah.
He is so cool. You watch his feet when he's performing. Man, I could watch him for hours.
Well, James Brown was incredibly amazing. I mean, I'm not into gospel music. I could listen to James Brown doing funk and R&B, but the gospel, like, you
know,
I can take or leave. No.
What is the name?
This is Lillian Lilly.
I like Lillian Lilly.
Doing Gaga Have Faith, Gotta Have Faith. It's three times on the front cover, so I think this is the track to move.
It delivers a good message.
Well, all the gospel stuff is supposed to deliver a good message. That's what it's there for. You know.
Well, I think Mama Drug Me was kind of...
Mama Drug Me to church. Mama Drug Me pulled my hair out my head.
But this is really what I like in gospel music. I like this kind of...
Okay, yeah.
Making a joyful noise.
Very infectious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just finding it, you know, very sane to me. I guess if you're into the music, like everything else, there are people who love disco and...
Hey.
They can listen to a dozen disco songs and they all sound different. To me, after the third one, I'm like, okay.
Oh, I love
Do you remember when the song Mockingbird first came out?
Mock. Hey, hooping. Hey,
yeah.
Bird.
Yeah.
Hey,
With James Taylor Carl
yeah.
Hammond.
Hey,
yeah.
I could listen to that over and over and over. I don't know
you
why.
Did.
Everybody,
no, it's a great song.
Have you heard? Come on. He's going to buy me.
Yeah, but there's only one James Taylor album I can listen to from beginning to end. And even that one gets kind of dull towards it. Like, that's his first album.
Well, I didn't listen to the album, just that particular song, which got to be a hit.
Well, yeah, it was deserved. No, but it's different from falling in love with a song and wanting to hear it over and over. To a whole genre of music that I just kind of find like, okay, I get it, and it's bouncy, but then after two or three songs,
I'm
like...
that, Lily and Lily.
All right, this is the end of the song here.
Let Lily and Lily roll on. Just play this whole CD in the background.
All right, in the way background.
Yeah, well, then it's gospel hour. We'll tell them we played gospel.
True. Yeah, that's right, we did. We fulfilled our mission.
You're listening to Gospel All Night. It's 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And you're listening to WGBB Freeport.
3:13 a.m. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Goodman and I at WGBB Radio Studio. Happy to be finishing this long shift
happy
that started with...
to make your acquaintance.
Started with Dave's Gone By long, long ago.
No, it started with the Little Big Time, longer ago.
Yeah, that's right, the Big Time, then the Little Big Time, then Dave's Gone By, then whatever this has been, gospel. Well, we did play some gospel, we did indeed, with Jeff and myself. Here on WGBB. It's been fun. I hope we get to do this again, honestly.
So, Ace, we hope you're feeling okay.
Yeah, right.
And everyone else who didn't show up, mighty thanks.
Yeah, right. This was cool. Thank you again to my wife, Joyce, to Joe Salzone for sticking around for a while. As part of the
for
fun.
An hour and a half. Big deal,
yeah,
Joe
right.
Salzone.
Thank you to Paul Tracy. Thank you also upcoming, reminding people that next week on Dave's Gone By, Rabbi Saul Solomon, the one and only interviewing. She's going to be appearing at Feinstein, so go see her and go listen to her next week on Dave's Gone By. We will be
Feltz.
Remember, if you're looking for her website, it's TovaFeltzShoe.com, and Feltzshoe is spelled Feltz, huh? That's how you know that there's no C's in there anywhere. It's just Feltz, huh? We'll be back next Sunday, March 9th.
I may not be back because... This all started when I started saying, we have to go to the
you're never going to let me get off the air tonight.
Showcase.
You're just never going to let me
No.
Get
we'll
be back. This is my ending. This is my thing here. We'll be back next Sunday night, March 9th, 2008, with the 263rd episode of Dave's Gone By. So until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night.
It's 3:15 in the a.m.
Have some Mabira, my dear. That's a Paul Tracy reference. He'll get it next week.
Okay, and then...
Bye!
And the audience erupts into applause.
Oh, that was kind of cool.
That was kind of neat. Every other song here says, come reprise.
What?
Well, there's come let us adore. Come ye this come. There's a song on here. This is Dr. Sheila L. Johnson and Young People for Christ. With the album Resurrection, there's a song. As I said, there's come let us adore. And come ye disconsolate. And then track 10. Is a song just called Come.
Come Again.
I want to hear Dr. Sheila L. Johnson come.
Dave cracks himself up sometimes. I can't believe it. He's absolutely almost on the floor with laughter. He's like turning beet red. He thinks his jokes are so funny.
Well, I think we all want to hear come with this song.
Well, especially Mr. Sheila Johnson would like to hear.
There you go.
What kind of knob? Please call in at 631-888-8811.
I guess he was talking to Mary at the time.
Was anything more than 5 minutes?
And if Jesus hasn't come after 4 hours, see a doctor.
And he maintains the erection.
Well, he maintained it for a day and a half, and then they took him down and put him behind the rock.
If your crucifixion lasts for more than 4 hours... have to go see Alice.
It all feels your life. Well, I have to say, it's a nice slow come.
It's a vibrator.
Oh, well.
We have to be careful. These are young people singing here.
Middle-aged.
No, but she's with the young people choir.
Oh, I see. Well, I guess she's teaching them come.
Oh, Lord, hear my cry. I hear you calling, 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 calling.
Come, sing along with me now. Everybody sing the chorus now. Everybody, come, 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 everyone. Everybody, come.
Everybody will now think something, too.
The big climax is about to happen.
Oh,
Here we go.
Come, come,
I hear him calling.
Come, come,
I hear him calling.
Come,
come,
come, come, everyone.
Oh
yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Come. Come, come.
I hear him calling, 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 calling.
Come, come.
Well, I guess they came.
Oh, I need a smoke.
Oh, Lordy.